Washington Post poll that shows Americans, especially independents, not satisfied with either candidate's economic plan.
This weekend, the G20 will summit in Mexico. Europe's debt crisis will undoubtedly overshadow all other topics. Europe's top shares edged lower early today as Moody's became the latest to downgrade Spain. A trauma surgeon from a Buffalo hospital is the prime suspect in a shooting death of the hospital's receptionist. Dr. Timothy Jordan is a former Army Special Forces weapons expert, and police say he should be considered dangerous. This is NBC News Radio. It was a very special night last night for the San Francisco Giants.
On the ground, Arias from deep third, got him! And that's a perfect game!
It was the Giants' first ever perfect game and only the 22nd in baseball history. Matt Cain was on the mound. They beat the Astros 10-0. More homeowners are facing foreclosure. The latest Realty Track report says it's up 12% from the month before. Tropical storm Carlotta has formed off the western Mexican coast. It's expected to strengthen to a hurricane by Friday. Another U.S. drone attack in Pakistan. Three militants were killed near the Afghan border. And today is Flag Day. It's the day in 1777 when Congress officially adopted the Stars and Stripes. You know, today in Philadelphia, there's still a group of seamstresses who hand embroider all of the presidential flags. They work just 10 miles from Betsy Ross's house. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Smart companies everywhere are getting dressed at Land's End Business Outfitters. We'll embroider your company logo on everything from polos to outerwear. Our quality will unify your team and make your brand better. Small companies to market leaders like Hampton Hotels and Southwest Airlines are dressing their employees at Land's End Business Outfitters. Now let us show you your good name on our good products. Visit landsend.biz. That's landsend.biz.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you, and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
The oil cartel is meeting at its Vienna, Austria headquarters today. What's happening in the oil market that we like, members of OPEC do not like. By that, of course, I mean falling oil prices. But OPEC is not expected to do what it typically would do in this situation, which is cut supply to increase prices. Analysts think it will maintain current levels because global economic growth is weakening and higher oil prices could have recessionary consequences. A half decade ago, Nokia was the cell phone maker every other player in the industry was chasing. It was by far the world's number one mobile phone seller. But change comes quickly in this business, and the transition to smartphones has left Nokia far behind. Today comes word it will cut 10,000 more jobs, meaning 40,000 job cuts since 2010. A cut to Spain's credit rating by Moody's Investor Service is helping push European stock markets down by about 1% right now. U.S. stock futures down, but not by that much. S&P NASDAQ futures each down 2 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
At Regions, we're building a better banking experience for each small business customer. That means giving you the basics, like checking and savings, as well as offering the right lending options. Because we understand how important capital, revenue, and cash flow are to your small business. So if you're ready for a bank that's as committed to growing your business as you are, switch to Regions. Visit Regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC. All loans subject to credit approval. See individual account disclosures for details.
Doctor, teacher, judge. These are just a few of the people who've lost a child to heat stroke after leaving them in an empty car.
33 children died last year alone. It can happen to anyone. Even you could forget a sleeping or quiet baby. If you have small children, get in a habit of checking the backseat every time you exit your vehicle. It could mean the difference between life and death. Where's baby? Look before you lock. To learn more, visit safercar.gov/heatstroke.
Presenting all 50 reasons to switch your business to the new Sage 50 accounting software. Ready?
Ready.
Go.
1. Sage 50 is quick to install and easy to use. 2. Turns information into insights. 3. Improves efficiency. 4. Easily tracks and forecasts cash flow. 5. Supports online banking. 6. Creates and manages budgets.
Time's up.
What?
6. Seriously? For all 50 reasons and a free trial of Sage 50 accounting, visit sagetoday.com/50.
Wait, I can do it.
Oh, that's sweet. Sagetoday.com.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us.
And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now.
First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
Morning, everybody. I am Tony Trupiano. Pleasure to be with you. 6 minutes. 6 minutes. Man, somebody messed with the microphone here. I'm sorry. Don't mean to create unnecessary noise. I think we're going to be okay, though. All right, we're better. There we go. Microphone now can stay where it needs to be. 7 minutes now after 6 o'clock on this Thursday, the 14th day of June 2012. My, oh, my. We've got really interesting mixed results today. And I'm telling you, we're going to visit a little later on in the show with Lori Lamoran, the president of Planned Parenthood of Mid-South Michigan. And unfortunately, we're visiting with her this morning, again this morning. And we love Lori, but we don't love talking to her this much. We're going to be talking with her this morning because the Republican legislature passed some legislation, proposed legislation, that furthers the war on women. This is just boggling the mind, boggling the mind. And when we tell you what happened, what's going to happen, what you can still do to have a say in this not happening, and you do have a say in it, I'm hoping that some of you are going to step up. And interestingly, as we were, unfortunately, where I said we've got some mixed results, the only good news I have to share with you this morning is that organized labor, in an attempt to protect all of our jobs, whether you're union or non-union, turned in almost 685,000 signatures to the state of Michigan yesterday to place on the ballot a constitutional amendment that will protect our jobs. From a Republican legislature, because you never know when you might get another one, from a Republican legislature constitutionally protecting our jobs, providing some rule of law that's just common sense stuff. We'll articulate what that's all about a little later on. Melanie McElroy will also be with us. From Common Cause of Michigan, the legislature, because it was one of those days yesterday. Oh, by the way, the reason it was one of those days yesterday is today's their last session until the fall. And it's my understanding, based on my insider knowledge, that even when they come back in the fall, they do not plan to really do any legislating until after the November election. So even when they come back in the fall, they will not spend much time legislating. And that could ultimately be a good thing, but the damage they're doing in the last couple of days of this session should be offensive to anybody that has a thinking person's brain. Voter suppression laws, that promised and on their way to the governor's desk. Anyway, Melanie McElroy will join us from Common Cause of Michigan, walk us through this and tell us In fact, we need to, Jeff, we need to dig up the governor's phone number. We're gonna need to give it out a lot today. Congressman Gary Peters joins us at 7:35. We will talk about protecting your home and your mortgage and what you can do if you're underwater. And I'm happy to say, at least at the federal level, every now and then, and I mean every now and then because it's almost by accident, it's kind of like that broken watch that's right twice a day, there's a little bipartisan cooperation on some legislation that would help those of us that are underwater. So we'll talk about that. Then David Hecker joins us at 8 o'clock in an abbreviated session, and he's going to be on the phone, which is fine. He's a busy guy. We're going to talk about Mitt Romney and education and all that happy stuff. So we got a lot to do. Let's get this thing going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Revenge? Revenge. Revenge. A dish best served cold. Revenge. I don't know that I'm not a big... See, I've never been a big fan of revenge until 2010 when we elected Republicans at every level of state government. And then they decided, through the American Legislative Exchange Council, people like Dick Posthumus. For those of you that think that Jay Spolger and Randy Richardville and Tom McMillan are smart enough to do what they're doing, they're not. They're not smart enough to do what they're doing. Somebody, they're marionettes, they're puppets. And the people that actually control their strings, their purse strings and their marionette strings, are the ones that have decided to design Michigan in their likeness. Now, we don't ever see these people, and we will never know who they are by name, but that doesn't mean that they don't exist. It doesn't mean, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't mean that they're not real, because they are. They're very real, and they're responsible in so many heinous ways for what it is we are experiencing right now. For those of you that are not paying attention, for those of you that claim to be conservative, because I really don't think you know why you're conservative. In fact, I'm willing to go to the mat on that one. With the exception of maybe a handful of people, I think philosophically you understand why you're conservative. But ask yourself this question. Ask yourself an honest question. The philosophy that you endorse, do you have it? Do you experience it? And if you don't, is it all the Democrats' fault, or is it the fault of Republicans as well? Answer that honestly, and then we'll have a real discussion. Revenge. Oh, folks, there's so much controversy this morning, I hardly know where to begin. But the good thing is I can jump in any end of the pool, and I know that I'm not going to be in over my head, but I'm barely going to be able to breathe. We have work to do, so let's make sure we get going. Today's first word, sadly, is revenge, and I would think that if I live in San Francisco, I don't want revenge this morning, but, probably pretty happy. A perfect game last night in Major League Baseball. A perfect game.
Not related to the Tigers, though.
No, the Tigers won last night. I'm happy to say they did. I think it was 8-4 was the final. But anyway, they won. And
good game by Johnny P.
Well, after the night before, making two errors. And by the way, I did, after we talked yesterday, after I went home, I did go look at those two plays. And he did make two errors, in my opinion.
That's the good thing about baseball.
Doesn't matter. It's not going to change anything.
Right. Exactly. Although, speaking of, you got the perfect game, of course, that was Matt Cain, pitcher for the San Francisco Giants. It might actually be quite a semi-historic day. So Matt Cain pitches a perfect game. The Mets, R.A. Dickey, is petitioning the league to get the hit taken away so he could have I don't think he's doing it. It's the Mets, but so he can have a no-hitter last night.
Yeah, there was and I did watch that, and I thought the score, and maybe we can post the video for that, but the score said that it was a hit, and it was clearly to me an error. That, to me, anyway, is an error. But, you know, this goes back to this reminds me of the old Galarraga argument, now, because it's not the same situation in any way, shape, or form, in my opinion. But what reminded me of that is, you know, there was the the controversy after the fact was, will they, you know, with Armando Galarraga, is will they reverse the umpire's call? And then does that get an asterisk? Because that actually would have been a perfect game. Had it, would it not have been? Yeah, that would have been a perfect game. So the question was, would that then be an asterisk game if they were to reverse it? Now, they didn't reverse it. We know that now. And it wasn't a no-hitter. And so does that taint it a little bit, Jeff? If you actually get Major League Baseball to say, no, the scorer was wrong on that. And I do believe the scorer was wrong. And in my opinion, and you know, my opinion doesn't matter here. Does that taint the no-hitter a little bit, in your opinion?
R.A. Dickey's?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, because a human error is part of the game, and it always has been part of the game. I know that there's talk that they want to try to completely eliminate it, and I think that's a dumb way to go about things. But I think, and it's funny because Galarraga's not a great pitcher. He's not even in the game anymore. But out of everyone that year, I can think of, I know who the other no-hitters are, or you know, even the perfect games. But everyone who pitched well that season, everybody remembers Galarraga more so than the ones who actually got credit for what they did.
True.
Do you remember the other, I think there was two perfect games that year.
I don't remember, no.
Well, Roy Halladay had one, and then Dallas Braden had the other. But no one remembers that. Everyone remembers the Galarraga game. So even though he doesn't get credit for it, he's living in infamy.
For good reason. Come on. I mean, I will never forget. I was one of my sisters was in the hospital, and I'm driving home, and I'm listening to that game. And I get home, and it's approaching the ninth inning, Jeff. And I get home, I run in the house, I run downstairs, I turn the TV on in my office, I'm watching the game, and all of a sudden, the infamous call is made. And I went nuts, and my wife thought I had a heart attack or something. She was running down the stairs. Oh, my God, what happened? Are you all right? And when I told her what happened, I got in trouble. But, that was insane. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Lots to do. 888-552-3595. Yeah, I think she'd probably still be pissed about that if we were to bring it up in front of her. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. On Twitter at Tony Truppiano. Let's take the break. Feel free to join us. You're more than welcome to do that. And we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
As you get ready for your drive, don't forget about construction. We'll be blocking a lane in each direction on John R. between East Maple and East Big Beaver Road. And also, you got that road closure on Schoolcraft westbound at Gulfview. That's because of that water main break. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 80 degrees. Tonight, clear skies and 58. Tomorrow, 87 and mostly sunny, and it's currently 51 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Unions work.
One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Let me welcome to First Shift Representative Richard Hamill.
Now, to give a bill an immediate effect, which means the bill would take effect directly after the governor signs the bill, unless there's something within the bill that there's a provision for it to be extended. But the Constitution clearly says that if 20% or one-fifth of the members in the House of Representatives want to have a record roll call vote on an immediate effect, that that should be granted. And we have not had the ability at all in this last little bit to be able to have a record roll call vote on immediate effect. I'll say not ever all. There's less than five times in the 560 times we've passed a bill where we've had immediate effect votes. So at least slow the process down a little bit. Doesn't change the legislation. Doesn't say that people can't pass things that they want. Majority parties have that ability in that state. But we say the Constitution says that you should have the opportunity to slow down just a hair.
On 1310 WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also, follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after the hour. Welcome back. By the way, and we're going to talk about this in greater detail in the 8 o'clock hour. The Republicans en masse. Vote for this omnibus package of bills that would restrict abortion, that would be detrimental to women's health. And again, we're gonna articulate all this a little later on. Six Democrats also voted in favor of this legislation. Six Democrats. Two of them I happen to know. One is Bob Constan. The other is Richard LeBlanc. They both should burn. They both should burn. Makes no sense to me. Makes no sense. Guys, if you don't want to be Democrats, then don't be Democrats. Do the Roy Schmidt thing. I'm sure Jace Bulger would love to serve you cocktails in his parlor, whatever the hell he has there on the west side of the state, and then you can switch parties, too. Shame on you both. Actually, shame on all six. Lisa Liss, I'll get you the whole list of Democrats that voted in favor of this this attack on women here in the state of Michigan. Just heinous what they've done. Heinous what they've done. Okay, 888-552-3595. It happened actually fairly early in the day. The judge that was considering Crystal Crittenton, the corporate attorney from the city of Detroit, considering her challenge to the consent agreement, told her, absolutely not. It goes forward. It's legit. You can't do this. And so it's done and over with, and it moves forward. We're going to walk through in a little while, the other side of the bottom of the hour. Charles Pugh, the city council president, sat down with Channel 7, was it, Jeff? Yeah, Channel 7. And we'll get through his response. But one of the other things that happened yesterday was the legislature, because they're such cowards. God, you know, there are days. And I'm not a big swearer. I mean, you know, I don't like to walk around dropping F-bombs everywhere. I have my days, I assure you. There are days that, like today, that I really wish, because I could more easily emphasize my frustration. I could articulate it better if I could be vulgar. Yeah, there is something to be said for vulgarity, by the way. I know often, you know, they're especially extremely intelligent people say that vulgarity doesn't accomplish anything and dumbs you down. I profoundly disagree. There are times where a well-placed cuss word is really quite effective. Wouldn't you agree?
Don't move to Massachusetts then.
Oh, yeah. We were going to mention, we were going to talk about the essay. Was it a $20 fine every time you swear or something?
Yeah, in a certain town in Massachusetts. And I just thought, man, can you imagine if Detroit did something like that?
Yeah.
Especially the way the Lions have been the last couple of years, hey, and the Tigers this year.
I'm telling you, yeah, it's a little bit out of control. Anyway, the legislature yesterday decides that if Governor Snyder is going to go ahead with this new bridge without their approval, because daddy should never do anything without the kids saying it's okay, they passed some legislation yesterday that said, well, no state money can be spent. Apparently, they forgot that no state money will be spent, but that's okay. This piece, according to Channel 7, is the reaction. Let's listen to it.
State lawmakers may put a crimp in the governor's big plan for a new bridge to Canada. But 7 Action News reporter Kimberly Craig tells us many people would welcome a second span.
So far, no one from the Maroon family or their bridge company is commenting on word that the governor has found a way to build a second competing bridge not far away from their Ambassador Bridge. A deal is expected to be announced on Friday, and all the key players from the governor to Canadian government officials are keeping tight-lipped.
There's nothing the city needs more than a job, and it's going to create jobs, it needs to be done. And if it's not being done with public money, so be it, but it's going to get done.
As far as putting the burden of taxes on the people, I don't think that's fair because some people don't even go across the bridge.
Today, Republican lawmakers in Lansing introduced legislation that would stop Governor Snyder from using any taxpayer dollars on a second bridge without their approval. But however the deal between the governor and Canadian officials is crafted, we know that the automakers are eager to see it become reality. Chrysler officials saying a new bridge is vital to the economic well-being of Michigan and the future of our company and many other Michigan businesses.
Any way it can get done. They don't want to play games. Get it done.
In Southwest Detroit, Kimberly Craig, 7 Action News.
So where does the money come from to pay for the massive project? Well, Canada offered to lend Michigan more than $500 million to pay for connecting roads and the plaza on the U.S. side. We're told the $1 billion bridge would be financed by the contractor who ultimately wins the bid to build and run the structure. Revenue from the daily tolls would pay the costs.
Wow, they actually got a lot of that wrong, but that's not the focus of that. Jeff, they got a lot of that wrong. That's really weird. Well, maybe not.
I was going to say, not lately.
They really got, that doesn't matter. Well, we'll come back to that because it doesn't. What I'm curious about, and of course, this will happen once we're off the air tomorrow. You know, one of the negatives to doing morning radio is, you know, press conferences and all that stuff happen after 9 o'clock in the morning. And so the governor's announcement tomorrow, not that we won't, I'm sure a lot of this will be leaked and I'm sure I can find it all already, but what's actually going to happen, we'll find out tomorrow. But what Channel 7 just reported was fundamentally incorrect, but we'll let it go. I just don't get it. I don't get how you can be so bad at your jobs. All right, I'm going to let it go. Okay, I said I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go. So that's the big bridge fight. But I just got a kick out of that. What I got a kick out of, Jeff, is the legislature saying, okay, well, if you're going to go ahead and do this anyway, we're just letting you know that you can't have any money. We didn't need the money. So it's like you're telling us that we can't do something we didn't want to do anyway. How ridiculous is this? It's insane. This is just insane. This is what happens when you have a legislature that it's run by ego. The Republicans that run this legislature don't run it with the good people in Michigan in mind. They run it with themselves in mind.
So let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Which is more dangerous? And you have to pick one. You can't tell me, well, they're both dangerous.
Okay.
Rick Snyder as governor or the Republicans that are running Michigan's legislature?
Oh, the latter. There are no question the Republicans that are running the legislature are far more dangerous. Now, we will see, Jeff, in a couple issues where the governor doesn't seem to necessarily be on exactly the same page as the legislative Republicans. We'll see if this creates a division in them. And this goes back to something that we talked about, and we'll get to this on the other side, but something we talked about last week, I believe, when we had Joe DeSano on. Is this the governor's way of saying he's a one-term governor without saying I'm a one-term governor? I'm just suggesting it's possible. And the governor doesn't get away with what he gets away with without the legislature. And the legislature certainly needs their accomplice in the governor's office. But, yeah, no, my answer is clear. Yeah, it's the legislature is more dangerous. Oh, my. Okay. We'll get to all that. And then Charles Pugh, lots of good stuff on their side. But we got to get to the break. So let's do that. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
W continuous traffic watch.
As you get ready for your drive, don't forget about construction. We'll be blocking a lane in each direction on John R. between East Maple and East Big Beaver Road. And also, you got that road closure on Schoolcraft westbound at Gulfview. That's because of that water main break. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 80 degrees. Tonight, clear skies and 58. Tomorrow, 87 and mostly sunny, and it's currently 51 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Jim Peterson, you just retired, so why would you want to step up into this role of candidate and ultimately, of course, with the goal of being elected to the state house?
Well, Tony, after watching this train wreck of a legislature and governor stumble from one anti-union thing, anti-worker thing, anti-retiree thing to the next, I couldn't not do it.
On 1310 WDTW.
In the realm of prevarication, there are deceivers, fibbers, liars, and Bank of America. For weeks, this financial behemoth has been running a nationwide PR blitz, portraying itself as a lovable bunch of public-spirited bankers. Never mind its two taxpayer bailouts, constant fee gouging, illegal foreclosures on homeowners, firing of 36,000 employees, etc. Before you believe a word that these truth adjusters say, note that they've even been caught lying outright to their own shareholders, the owners of the bank. Following the 2007-2008 Wall Street collapse, not only did BOA get a $15 billion bailout, but it was also allowed to get bigger by snapping up the foundering investment giant, Merrill Lynch. To win shareholder approval of this merger, the bank's top executives issued a rosy assessment of the takeover, promising golden profits within a year or so. Court documents in a shareholder lawsuit, however, recently revealed that the honchos, including the CEO, knew at the time of the shareholder vote that the numbers were materially false and that swallowing Merrill would choke the owners with billions of dollars in losses. Moreover, the deal struck by the geniuses at the top was so bad that they also knew they would have to get a second federal bailout of $20 billion to stave off total collapse. Shareholders, who were told none of this, unwittingly voted to okay the merger. Even BOA's top lawyer was kept in the dark. When he learned of the big lie 2 days after the shareholder vote, he tried to talk to top executives about the need to admit the ruse. Instead, the next day, the lawyer was summarily fired and escorted from the bank without even being allowed to collect his personal belongings. This is Jim Hightower saying, forget all the PR perfume that BOA is now spritzing around. Bank of America stinks to its core.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
Well, welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour. This is the number you need to call to let the governor know where you stand, both on the voter suppression bills that are going to go to his desk and the anti-abortion, anti-women bills that are going to come to his desk. So this is the number, 517-373-3400, 517-373-3400. Now, I don't think it opens till 9. Be nice. You don't have to, you know, be nasty. The lady that I've called many times, unfortunately, then they're very nice, and they will be very nice. They will ask you very simply what you're calling for, what you tell them. Please ask the governor to put some serious consideration to not sign the legislation that will cross his desk on both the voter suppression bills and the anti-women legislation. They will ask you if you want to say where you're from. You make that decision on your own. I would do it because I think it gives it a little more weight. That's it. That simple. They're not going to ask you your name, but you know you have every right to call and ask the governor. You know he does represent us all. Even if you didn't vote for him, he does represent us all. 517-373-3400. We're going to go to the phone. So the number, if you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. Laura in Royal Oak joins us now. Laura, good morning. What's on your mind today?
Hi. In regards to the bills that were passed and the bridge and everything, Governor Snyder could send a message straight back to the legislature that you don't want to do the right thing, then I'm vetoing your bills. Because apparently there's a division there, and if he wants to prove that he hasn't been a puppet for them for the last year and a half?
Yep.
This would be a good way to veto their bills, let them go out for summer, and then face the voters in November.
Well, you know, Laura, I don't disagree with that. First of all, I don't think he has the stones to do that. I don't believe that he has enough backbone to even stand up to his own party. We know that he's not... We know that he's not a good Republican. What he is a good conservative. And there's a difference between the two. But he's a good conservative, and he's really been their puppet. In so many ways, this governor is, with the exception of one inconsequential piece of legislation, this governor has signed every piece of legislation his Republican buddies have sent to him. Laura, we need to be very, very concerned. Yeah, there may be a division there, but I don't think he's got the stones to stand up to his own party, to be honest with you.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with the fact that I think we've all pretty much figured out that he was a chosen, you know, that he was the one that they put up there. They wanted someone that would just stand in that governor's office and sign everything that crossed his desk as an agenda. And I think the reason that they force everything through as quickly as they can is because they knew they only had a 2-year window to get this done. And come November, if we do the right thing and take back over the House of Representatives on the state level, it ties his hands. So he wants to get through as much as he possibly can. But in some cases, in order to keep peace in the legislature and to get his agenda done, he's signing what they want done as well.
I don't think you're incorrect there. I'm thinking what you have said was both well thought out and well articulated and truthful. Unfortunately, they did realize that they have a 2-year period. There are some that are continuing to suggest that the Democrats won't get the House back. I refuse to believe that. Of course, we'll figure that out soon enough on November 7th. But for right now, it's about November 6th and making sure we get out the vote and we educate people. But yeah, we need to stop this insanity.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks.
Well, you have a good day, Tony.
Thank you, Laura. I appreciate the call. I do. I truly do. Charles Pugh was with Channel 7 yesterday. Charles Pugh, of course, is the president of the Detroit City Council. He had a lot to say about the judge throwing out the lawsuit yesterday. But again, and as you listen to what Charles Pugh is going to tell you, part of the problem I have with him is that it's so easy for him to take a position on both sides of an issue. I don't go ahead and I'm seeing Democrats. I don't care what political party he belongs to. I find that to be spineless, no matter, just like the governor. I find him to be spineless. Anyway, let's listen to a little bit about what Charles Pugh had to say, and let's start with his thoughts. Did the judge make the right decision by telling Crystal Crittenden, the corporate counsel for the city of Detroit, that her lawsuit was null and void?
I'm going to be honest with you. I think the judge is wrong. I think that the part of the charter that the judge cited was not about charter violations, because the part of the charter that talks about if the corporation counsel sees a charter violation, he or she can move forward independently and resolve that, even with court action. So, you know, although at this point I'm glad we're going to move forward, but I still don't think, to the letter of our charter, that the judge was right. I think that the corporation counsel had very solid ground on which to stand to move forward with the court action.
But not worth appealing it because of everything it could cause.
I think the appeal would have to be approved by the mayor.
So talk about...
That's probably not going to happen. Yeah.
All right. So then he goes on to talk about Crystal Crittenden and again, supporting her, but this is where I have my issue, but yeah, but we also need to move on. Well, you can't, well, I guess you can't have it both ways, Charles Pugh, but this is what he had to say.
You know, I'm glad we're going to move forward. I mean, I supported Crystal Crittenden's decision to do what she felt the charter empowered her to do, and I think she's right. She had every right to act independently outside of the mayor and our body. But what she was asking for was for a judge to do what he did, to make a determination on whether, and actually they threw the case out instead of answering her question, is the consent agreement valid? So we're going to move forward. Tomorrow we're going to appoint our two members to the financial advisory board. We're going to confirm the joint appointment from the mayor and governor, and we're going to move forward, because throughout this whole thing, all we wanted was the fiscal stability of the city of Detroit.
Absolutely.
Period.
Well, then he goes on to talk about the posturing by the state, mostly Governor Snyder, who was threatening the city council. What I find interesting about that is he was actually doing the same thing, just from his own perspective. So, you know, why is it okay for him to do the threat game but not for the governor? Well, that's being what it is. This is what Charles Pugh had to say.
We agreed that the city of Detroit would do the short-term borrowing and set aside money in escrow for us to be able to make these debt service payments. And then later we would float some bonds to pay that back and have, you know, some reserve sitting for cash flow. Well, the fact that the state was going to hold that up and possibly allow us to not be able to pay our police officers and firefighters because they were upset with the court action that was simply asking, was the agreement valid? I just think that was unfortunate that they would even threaten to do it, but let alone get this far along. You know, I don't know if they were calling our bluff or what was happening, but the bottom line is that, you know, that's over. But I just don't like the way they dealt with that. I think it could have been handled a lot differently.
Well, you know, again, I said this when we had Stephen Henderson on yesterday, and we didn't have a chance to really get into it, but I certainly expressed my displeasure with Charles Pugh, and I'm going to reiterate that again today. I just, it's so easy to play Monday morning quarterback, which is what Charles Pugh is doing here, because he can't be wrong. And that's the bottom line. No matter what he's doing, he can't be wrong. He goes on to say that we now need to look at the bigger picture and not the small squabbles.
You know, if people looked at this back and forth between the mayor, the council, and the state, don't use that as a guide of what things really are, the big picture. We still need to look at the big picture, that we're moving forward. The mayor did not veto our budget this year. That's the first. The last two budgets, there was a huge, nasty fight back and forth between the mayor and council over what the budget should be. This year, it's different. So there is a lot more agreement than it appears, because this, we're going to run out of money in this showdown. It looks bad, but the reality is that, you know, we are cooperating. We're moving forward.
All right, and very quickly, he says, okay, don't worry, everything's fine.
Did you hear Detroiters yesterday? They seem so outraged over what's going on. They're worried about the city's finances right now. We all are.
No, don't be worried.
Why? I mean, what do you say to your constituents? How is Detroit going to move forward at this point?
We have it under control. We negotiated that consent agreement with our partner, the state, so that we can get the city back on better fiscal footing. I felt that we could have done this all along with a deficit elimination plan without getting into a consent agreement. But we're here now. And so we negotiated that plan as a way to pay down our accumulated deficit, to bring our costs in line with our spending in line with our revenues, and to fix the city financially and also fix infrastructure, our financial infrastructure in the city, our payroll system and other things, our accounting systems, so that we are up to date, we use technology, we make things more efficient, we deliver city services better. That was our goal and still is our goal. So that hasn't changed.
All right. And, all right. Let me just make this simple. For those of you that like Chuck Pugh, God bless you, like him all you want. He reminds me of a classic politician. Again, the Monday morning quarterback mentality. This whole thing, you don't need to worry. Everything's fine. Why don't you start the conversation that way? But this idea that he had it all figured out, that we could have just done this as a deficit elimination plan. Again, I want to go back to Ed McNeil, who represented that coalition of city unions that had a deficit elimination plan that the city council ignored. Chuck, we are paying attention. All right, a quick break. We got a lot to get to yet in this hour. By the way, if you're a smoker, don't even think about applying for a job at the Detroit Medical Center. We'll get to that. And Charlie LaDuff tells us that the president may be suffering because of Bob Ficano. 888-552-3595. We'll be back.
First Chip with Tony Triano.
This is white supremacy, and we will fight you. And before we let you take over our city, we will burn it down.
What the f*** is the matter with you?
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Jeff, we're going to do a little mock phone call. You up for that?
Sure.
Actually, all you have to do is say, when I pretend like the phone's ringing and you're answering it, just say, hi, this is Senator Johnson's office. And Bert Johnson happens to be my state senator. So that's all I need for you to do. And I'll take it from there.
All right, I'll see if I got this line down.
Okay. Ring, ring. Apparently not.
You don't answer after the first one. You have to let it go twice.
Ring, ring.
Hi, Senator Johnson's office.
First Chip with Tony
Triano on 1310 WDTW. Why are you laughing? Are you going to call laughing?
No, I'm not. Okay. All right. All right. All right. So, right.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind.
Now,
here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. We're going to hit the ground running. We got a lot we're going to try to get in before the top of the hour. But we're going to start with Tom in Detroit, who's on the other end of our line. Tom, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning, first of all.
Good morning.
I heard a piece about where Romney's group was at a restaurant, and evidently they must have got in there and acted real nasty. And the woman said that, you know, in terms of the way they were acting, you would have thought Obama had been here. And I'm going like, you know good and well, if President Obama had been anywhere and had, you know, kind of, my word here, acted a fool, this would have been all over the place, and they'd have been jumping up and down on it like, you know, these guys jump up and down in a doggone wrestling match. And, I mean, I just thought it was, you know, just like, it sounded to me like it was a setup.
Well, and it probably was. I do know that one of the comments that came out of that, Tom, was somebody felt that they were set up. Somebody said that the way Mitt Romney and his folks acted made them feel slighted and set up. And so
yeah,
I'm not quite sure what happened. I the Democratic National Committee did send me an email with all this information, but there's so much going on locally, Tom, that I was focusing on that stuff yesterday.
Yeah, I understand, because, I mean, that judge sat there and told Ms. Crittenden that, okay, we know who run the city. Okay, that's fine and dandy. And I know I'm, you know, getting off on another railroad track, but the bottom line was that charter gives her that right to do what she did, and I'm glad she stood her ground.
Well, and she did stand her ground, and you know, I'm telling you, there were people, and I'm sure you heard Stephen Henderson on the show yesterday, a lot of people didn't agree with them, but after there was an exchange between him and a couple callers, people went online, did some homework, and realized that Stephen Henderson was right. And so they wanted to apologize for being so hard on him. At the same time, they didn't want to back away their support for Crystal Crittenden. And that's okay. You can do both.
Yeah.
You can
that's
do both.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
All right, Tom, thank you so much.
Right,
you bet, my friend. You bet. Let me get to some audio before I get to my next call. I had teased this before the break. The Detroit Medical Center is going to start with new hires, not hiring smokers. Now, they're not going to be the first folks to do this, and they won't be the last folks to do it. But they will be doing it. So let's play this audio, and then we'll come back and chat with a caller.
For the smokers who work at the DMC, the announcement the health system will start a no-nicotine hiring policy has current employees on edge. It may not apply to them, but off-camera, they tell me, it makes them wonder what's coming in the future.
We want to engage our community. We want to be role models for the community. And this aligns us with our parent company, Vanguard Health Systems, and their initiative on safety and health for life.
The DMC joins Oakwood and Crittenden in adopting the policy which will screen new applicants for nicotine. Test positive and there's no job for you. So legally, can these hospitals do this? The short answer is yes. 29 states have adopted laws that protect the employment rights of smokers. Michigan is not one of them, which leaves smokers without any legal grounds to challenge the hiring policy. And while the DMC and the other health systems talk about health and wellness,
you know, the primary reason for doing this is really around our employees' health and wellness.
There's a major monetary and productivity component as well. According to the Centers for Disease Control, smoking or exposure to secondhand smoke causes 443,000 premature deaths a year and costs the nation $193 billion in health bills and lost productivity.
Well, and you know, we can talk about those numbers, and we will, but not right now. Right now, we're going to turn our attention to a caller who wants to stay anonymous. I understand does work at the Detroit Medical Center. So I want to welcome you to the show and thank you so much for giving us a call this morning.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Tony.
Yeah, yesterday we all kind of got the message, and I have to say, most employees that were there were in a state of shock. We were really stunned that they would do something that's so discriminatory just towards, you know, one group of people. And, you know, I mean, we all recognize nicotine and tobacco is not a good thing to do, just to sort of single that out didn't really make a lot of sense to us. And it sort of follows the line of what we're seeing from this parent organization out of Texas that, you know, now owns the Detroit Medical Center. We're trying to control so many things, you know, about employees, et cetera, things like that. And, I mean, you know, there's nothing in there about whether a person is, and God forbid we start attacking them, obese, whether we're going to hire them or not. You know, because maybe this is not a good thing for people that are employees of the Detroit Medical Center, you know, as well. And so I would say overwhelmingly the employees are under their breath, like really thinking this is just an insane sort of thing to do.
Well, you know, and unfortunately, you know, this is not the first, even in the state of Michigan, this is not the first company to either state that they're going to include this in their hiring practice or they have been already doing it. There was a company out of DeWitt, and I don't remember the name of the company off the top of my head, and they were the ones that really started it. Now, let me tell you that I don't disagree with what you've said. And as a reform smoker, and I am a reform smoker, more, you know, 6 months ago I quit, when this issue first came up some years ago, I thought it was quite discriminatory. I still think it's quite discriminatory. And I'm going to tell you why. This is really simple. Smoking's not illegal.
Yeah. Although you would think it is. It's funny, over the years that I've worked there, you know, even doctors that work in pulmonary departments will sneak outside to have a cigarette. It's a very difficult thing, you know, to quit doing. But I would think of a healthcare facility, we would want to work with people and help them get off of smoking rather than just up front say, like, you know, you're not welcome here because you are a smoker. No matter what your skill set is or what your talents are.
Well, and that's certainly the real question. You have to, you know, really, this is the question you have to ask yourself. How many really sensational employees will not even be considered for a job because they puff the evil tobacco?
Right. And like you, I'm a former smoker. 18 years I smoked probably a pack and a half, 2 packs a day. I quit. It was extremely difficult to do. It took me probably 4 or 5 years to do it. The people that smoke, just about everyone you talk to has tried to quit at some particular time, you know, or the other. But we also heard some scuttlebutt that, you know, in places like other hospitals that people just would go take a drug like Chantix or something like that for a couple of weeks, you know, quit smoking, and then after they got hired, they go back to smoking.
Well, and again, we don't know, and the question that I have is, do they, and once you're hired, do they continue to test you so that they make sure you're a non-smoker? That, to me, would be very invasive, but I don't know the answer to that question.
We certainly hope not. You know, I mean, if they weren't allowed to identify smokers, they would just go out to the curb by the side of the street, we'll see them out there off property smoking during the daytime.
Yeah,
which I think actually gives the worst image for the place than to actually.
Yeah, no question, and I don't disagree with that. We've got to get going. Thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. We take the break for the top of the hour. I have a feeling this will not be the last conversation we're going to be having on the Detroit Medical Center and smokers, hiring or not hiring them, as the case may be. A quick break for the top of the hour. I'm going to go grab a little more coffee. You do whatever it is you do, and let's meet back here just after 7 o'clock. This is First Shift. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be right back.
ABC 1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Pretty quiet on your roadway so far. Just some construction notes. Let's head over to McNichols Road at the Southfield Freeway, where the southbound ramp will be closed. That starts at 9 a.m. and lasts until 3. Also, construction will be blocking a lane in each direction on John R. between East Maple and East Big Beaver Road. And Schoolcraft westbound at Gulfview, that's closed due to that water main break. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 80 degrees. Tonight, clear skies and 58. Tomorrow, 87 and mostly sunny, and it's currently 51 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet. Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit, NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. Syria's ambassador to Moscow says that Russia is not supplying Syria's government with attack helicopters, the most specific denial yet from Moscow or Damascus of remarks by Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Meanwhile, NBC's Richard Engel reports from Cairo that the fighting inside Syria continues.
Businesses aren't functioning. The roads aren't open. People aren't really going to school except in a few pockets. So the country is collapsing on a day-to-day perspective.
Another day of graphic testimony is expected today in the Pennsylvania courtroom, where former Penn State assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky is on trial. Sandusky is facing more than 50 charges of sexually molesting boys over a 15-year period. Someone in Iowa holds the winning ticket for the $240 million Powerball jackpot. Last night's big drawing boasts a one-time cash value of nearly $160 million. This is NBC News Radio. More doping charges are being leveled against seven-time Tour de France champion Lance Armstrong. The U.S. Anti-Doping Agency alleges that it has collected samples consistent with blood manipulation. Here's NBC's Ann Thompson.
Armstrong calls the charges baseless and accuses USADA, that is the agency, of pursuing a vendetta against him, motivated, he says, by spite and testimony bought and paid for by promises of anonymity.
The man accused of killing three people near Auburn University last week will be in court today. Desmonte Leonard is scheduled to be arraigned on three counts of capital murder, two counts of first-degree assault. A massive wildfire northwest of Fort Collins, Colorado, is still raging this morning. In New Mexico, the largest fire in state history has burned over 435 square miles, but is now 51% contained. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Smart companies everywhere are getting dressed at Land's End Business Outfitters. We'll embroider your company logo on everything from polos to outerwear. Our quality will unify your team and make your brand better. Small companies to market leaders like Hampton Hotels and Southwest Airlines are dressing their employees at Land's End Business Outfitters. Now let us show you your good name on our good products. Visit landsend.biz. That's landsend.biz.
It's time to move toward a different kind of communications company. We're CenturyLink, and we're committed to help with reliable technology, personal service, and 24/7 tech support for your home and 24/7 network reliability monitoring for your business. And we'll continue to free you from hassles with real choice and flexibility and a price lock guarantee. Focus on what matters to you and get the most from your technology. Find out more about our honest and fair communication solutions at CenturyLink.com. CenturyLink, your link to what's next.
OPEC is gathering for a meeting in Vienna today to discuss a problem, more a problem for oil producers than oil consumers, falling prices. Usually when prices fall, members of the cartel vote to cut petrol production, crimping supply and pushing prices back up. Two OPEC members, Iran and Venezuela, are pushing for that now, but analysts think the majority of OPEC nations will argue to keep output levels current, fearing economic slowdowns that could lead to a market crash if prices get too high. Nokia, only a few years ago the world's biggest maker and marketer of cell phones, is far from that now. And the company is announcing another painful round of job cuts, 10,000 more jobs ending, making 40,000 cuts since 2010. A bond sale in Italy at rates considered encouraging is helping pull European stock markets from their deepest session losses. It is also helping us. S&P futures now gaining 3 points, NASDAQ futures up 5. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
At Regions, we're building a better banking experience for each small business customer. That means giving you the basics, like checking and savings, as well as offering the right lending options. Because we understand how important capital, revenue, and cash flow are to your small business. So if you're ready for a bank that's as committed to growing your business as you are, switch to Regions. Visit Regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC. All loans subject to credit approval. See individual account disclosures for details.
Smart companies everywhere are getting dressed at Lands' End Business Outfitters. We'll embroider your company logo on everything from polos to outerwear. Our quality will unify your team and make your brand better. Small companies to market leaders like Hampton Hotels and Southwest Airlines are dressing their employees at Lands' End Business Outfitters. Now let us show you your good name on our good products. Visit landsend.biz. That's landsend.biz.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you, and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people sense. Member FDIC.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
An idea. A thought. Born in Dearborn. The product of hard work. Teamwork. Pride. Put in the hands of the people.
For the people.
And made in America.
It's time to punch in for your
first shift. Now, here's Tony Trujillo.
Oh, welcome back. We've got a busy, busy hour. Kind of one of those mixed results hours where we're going to talk about problems. We got a lot of problems to talk about today. Maybe some solutions as well. Congressman Gary Peters will be with us at 7:35 to talk perhaps about some mortgage solutions. But as we were talking in great length in the last hour between what the State House and Senate are doing with regard to war on women, there's also a war on our rights, our civil rights, our right to vote. And we've seen this happen in Florida. We've seen it happen in Indiana and other parts of the country. But sure enough, that cookie-cutter legislation finds its way here. And I'd feel differently about this if I thought any of the Republican leadership were smart enough to come up with this stuff on their own. But they're not. They're not. This is not something that they said, "I've got an idea." This is something they saw somebody else do and say, "Ooh, that's pretty wicked. Let's see what we can do to deny access to more people." And so that's what they did. Jeff, we've got to find that Grover Norquist audio again where he talks about voter suppression and the harder you make it for people to be able to register to vote, the less, the more Republicans get elected. That's exactly what happens. Let's turn our attention to our next guest and talk about the legislation that we're referencing. Joining me now is Melanie McElroy. Melanie is Executive Director of Common Cause of Michigan. Common Cause is a national nonpartisan organization that promotes accessibility and transparency in government. Melanie is also co-chair of the Michigan Election Coalition for 2012, and she joins us this morning to talk about this series of bills. And I want to thank you, Melanie, for being with us today.
Good morning. Thank you, Tony.
I will honor and recognize your nonpartisan status because I think it's important that we do that. We just happen to agree on this one issue, but I want to make it clear to folks that Common Cause really is dedicated, as I define you, and you are a nonpartisan organization. So I wanted to make sure we said that up front.
Thank you.
Let's talk about what's happening here in the state of Michigan. Senate Bill 751, 754, and 803. Well, first of all, do we want to lump them together, or should we take some time and educate our audience as to what each one of those do, Melanie?
Absolutely. And this package is actually part of a national trend, like you said. There's been voter suppression legislation in the forms of photo ID, in the form of citizenship checkbox requirements, and restrictions on our registration. And they've been popping up in states around the country. And, I mean, like you said, they're getting ready for the major presidential election that we have this year. So let's start with Senate Bill 751. And my concerns with this bill are that it would require absentee ballots to be automatically challenged if a voter has not voted in 6 years. And so, as we know, military service members, their families, they're most likely to be to use absentee ballot procedures and thus be more likely to have their ballots challenged, which is absolutely un-American, and those are the people that we should be protecting first. This would also affect families who have moved around in the last couple of years. We've seen a lot of our neighbors go through foreclosure, and students that have to go and study away from home, get jobs elsewhere, then come back. And this affects a lot of the people who deserve to be heard on election day, and they wouldn't be. So those are my concerns with Senate Bill 751.
Okay, go ahead. Let's just keep moving.
All right, and then 754. I mean, I've been talking about this one for months. It's a photo ID requirement. It's partially photo ID and partially registration, but the photo ID requirements really disproportionately exclude seniors, minorities, young people, and low-income Michiganders from the ballot box. And we have an example in widely cited studies around the country that one in four African Americans lack a photo ID. And we should be helping people obtain these sorts of documentations, not barring them from their fundamental right to vote. And we also know that disabled voters often don't even drive and therefore don't have a driver's license to begin with, not to mention our seniors who have been longtime voters in Michigan, know the procedure, know what to do, get excited about Election Day each year, but may not have the documentation anymore that they would need to go out and get this ID. They may not have a birth certificate anymore. They may not have a passport, and therefore we're just burdening some of our most loyal voters on Election Day. And the other part of Senate Bill 754 would require anyone conducting third-party voter registration to be trained by the Secretary of State's Bureau of Elections before collecting applications. So this means if you and your coworkers provided your own staff with forms there in your office or walked around the block and helped people get registered to vote, you would have to be first finding a training location, and then being certified by a Secretary of State's certified training person. We haven't really found out too many details about this yet, but you'd have to go through all of these hoops before registering any new voters, even if you've been doing this for 10 years in a row. And any volunteers that you took along with you would not be able to participate in registration drives under this new legislation unless they sign forms threatening them with criminal prosecution for registration offenses that haven't been clearly defined. So that's just not fair. I mean, we rely on these third-party organizations like League of Women Voters, who have an excellent record of flawless voter registration, have been doing it for over 70 years. That even civics teachers in your local high school who register their students, or university clubs who go to dorm to dorm and register their peers. So we would see a major, major drop in new voter registration, and therefore civic engagement in our state, which is really important.
And there's no question. We saw what happened in the state of Florida when the League of Women Voters, because they were fear of prosecution, fear of being felons, stopped their efforts, which they had been doing for, I don't know, 9 decades.
Right.
And I'm not exaggerating. 90 years they'd been doing this, and they stopped doing it. We saw a substantial reduction in new voter registration. So we can just keep this a little neater. Let's move on to the Senate Bill 803, and then we'll neatly put all this together.
Yeah, the Senate Bill 803 requires an additional checkbox where you affirm your citizenship on an absentee voter application and even on your election day ballot. And we saw this was actually implemented in Michigan during our presidential primary, and it caused a lot of confusion for longtime voters because we already have to affirm our citizenship when we register to vote. And now we're asking our voters to do that again, and it's redundant and unnecessary, and we have no evidence of non-citizens voting in Michigan elections, and so it's only caused more work for our clerks and more confusion and unrest at the polls. So we're absolutely against this redundant measure, because if you were a citizen the day you registered, chances are you have not revoked your citizenship if you're going to vote at the polls.
Of course, there are going to be those devil's advocates that are going to say, listen, what's the big deal? A photo ID is a photo ID, so you've got to, pull it on. And I've had this argument with, God bless that wonderful old lady that's at my voting place every time I vote. I need to see her ID, and I always give her a hard time in a nice way. Melanie, I'm not mean to her, but, she keeps on insisting. Well, now she's doing it legitimately, didn't realize that eventually she'd end up there. But, what about those that say, well, what's the big deal? It's a picture ID. So what?
Well, my issue is that, what the argument I often get is that you show an ID to buy a pack of cigarettes or to buy a beer, but those aren't fundamental rights. And voting in our elections here in Michigan and around the country, those are our fundamental rights as American citizens. And so we should be making it I'm not saying make it easy so that there's room for fraud, but we should be protecting that right. We should be helping people get to the polls. I mean, the best way to actually affirm one's identity is through a signature. Your signature doesn't change. And I don't know about you, but I've had so many hairstyles that if you go back through the years and look at my photo IDs, my sister could pass as myself. And I don't feel that that's necessary to put so many people through these hoops to jump when I don't think a photo ID is the best way to identify a person's identity.
Let's talk for a minute here before we go to break about costs. Is there a cost associated with this legislation?
Absolutely, and especially the trainings required by the third-party organization registration with people having to, we have upwards of 10,000 volunteers who go out every year and register voters. Now we'd have to find them a location, train them, certify them, and, that doesn't even take into account the amount of time that our citizenship checkbox checkers that are looking after that, people who are checking ID. I mean, just extra burdens on each election polling location. It's going to cost the state of Michigan a lot of money. And, hey, if we get in trouble like Florida did, we're going to be up to our necks in legal costs as well.
Well, and that really is one of my fears, not to mention the fact that there are people that really can't afford, I don't care how much an ID is, they don't have that little bit of money.
Absolutely. And our clerk's offices and their tireless election officers and poll workers and volunteers, they need our support, not more hoops to jump through and redundant regulations. So these bills will burden our election infrastructure at a time when, as you know, a lot of our cities and towns are struggling financially.
Well, it certainly begs the question, Melanie McElroy. So let me ask it. If we weren't to do any of this, or we were to do all of this, what does it really change anything?
I mean, I don't think so. We hear a lot of allegations of fraud, but there's no evidence that there's fraud in Michigan in our elections. I mean, we found that some prisoners and some dead people have been found voting in the last couple years. But even our Secretary of State office has said that those were clerical errors. And so we need to be supporting our officers, our clerks, in being able to make this a flawless process. We
absolutely
don't need to be giving them more stuff.
Hey, Melanie, stay with us. Would you please? We've got to get to a break. Melanie McElroy is my guest with Michigan's Common Cause. When we come back, we're going to play a little audio from the Rachel Maddow Show from last night. This is about legislation, after all, and I want you to hear what happened in the House when these bills went to, I was going to say discussion, but it's actually the lack thereof. Stay with us. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trio.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us just don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
And as your traffic volumes start to pick up, we've got a couple of slow spots. Let's head over to 96 eastbound between Wixom Road and Novi, and also on 275 northbound between Ford Road and Ann Arbor Road. They're watching the brake lights there. And don't forget about that closure on Schoolcraft westbound at Gulfview. That's closed due to that water main break from yesterday. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 80 degrees. Tonight, clear skies and 58. Tomorrow, 87 and mostly sunny, and it's currently 51 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that.
You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register. Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Joining us now is my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark.
Student loan debt, it's a debt that can never go away. You can go bankrupt, and the government will still force you to pay on your student loans. You can be 80 years old, like I met a lady, and she still has to pay on her student loans, even though she's on a fixed income, and she'll never be able to pay it off. This debt is also costing us jobs, because think about it. Our graduates, those who are motivated, disciplined, and ambitious to go to school and get their education, they're the ones likely to go into business to create jobs. But they can't do that because they're in so much student loan debt, they don't have the money to start their own business or buy a home or maybe even get married.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He's come over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
Michigan has got much closer to making voting harder after the House approved the three bills yesterday, tightening the requirements for casting a ballot. The bills passed along party lines. The one with new requirements for voter registration drives passed with 66 votes. And that is important because under the Michigan state constitution, you need a two-thirds majority for a bill to become law right away. That's 73 votes, not 66. If you have 73 votes, the Constitution says you can put the law into effect immediately. Otherwise, you wait until the following year, in this case until 2013, and then the presidential election is already over. Putting laws into immediate effect is not unusual in Michigan. Both parties have done it for some time, but lately Michigan Democrats in the House have begun asking Republicans to prove they have sufficient votes for immediate effect, which is something Michigan Democrats are empowered to do under the state constitution. Yesterday, Michigan Democrats looked at the 66 votes for this legislation they firmly oppose, and when Republicans made a motion for immediate effect, the Democrats immediately objected. Under the Michigan Constitution, you can get a recorded roll call vote, so you can count the votes if enough lawmakers request one. In the House, 22 lawmakers have to ask for that vote in order to get it. The problem, according to Democrats, is that Republicans are ignoring the request. They deny them that vote. Check out this tape House Democrats sent over from yesterday's vote. So what you're seeing there, Republicans move for immediate effect. Democrats run up to ask for a record roll call vote. And Republicans then gavel in immediate effect. When the Republican speaker does that, he's saying that in his personal judgment, 73 lawmakers stood to support immediate effect in those few seconds, So that's a quick count he made. Even though the measure only passed with 66 votes, and the chamber is filled with Democrats crying out their protest. After the voting, 22 lawmakers read their objection into the official record, 22 again being the number you needed to require the roll call vote the Democrats wanted.
And there we go. Let me first of all remind everybody, my guest is Melanie McElroy. She is with Common Cause of Michigan. We're talking about transparency in government. You know, I'm hoping Common Cause or somebody will step up, perhaps challenge the Republicans. I understand that both sides have done it. That doesn't make it right, Melanie. And we've got a problem here, especially when it's dealing with legislations like these in the House, the voter and this it was around the issue of voter suppression laws, when something that should matter to everybody. This should transcend partisanship anyway.
Absolutely.
This is, again, very, very disturbing. What happens? I mean, we're going to give a number out in just a moment for the governor's office. We're going to ask him, of course, we're going to ask this audience to ask the governor to not sign this legislation. But the Senate hasn't passed it yet. Is that my understanding?
Right. My understanding is that could happen today. Obviously, we never really know what timeline we have for these things. But my understanding is that will be passed before they go on break.
Okay. And that, of course, today is that last day. And I do understand they're prepared to work late into the evening if need be, because, God forbid, we wouldn't want them working any longer. Actually, we don't want them at this point working any longer than they have to, because we see what happens when they do work. So let me give out that number again right now, 517-373-3400. That's to the governor's office. And you'll just ask him that when this legislation comes to his desk, because we can pretty much guarantee that it will pass in the Senate. They've got the supermajority in the Senate, so we can guarantee that it will pass, that he votes or that he does not sign this legislation. Do we have any indication, Melanie McElroy, has the governor talked at all about this legislation? Because I looked before you and I came on this morning, and I didn't see anything from his office commenting on this legislation in any way.
And we haven't either. And our group and several others have reached out to him. We plan to hopefully ask for a meeting with him before he's able to see this package at his desk. And we haven't really heard a single reaction. Obviously, he's busy with his bridge and many other things. But I'm surprised that something that would affect so many Michigan voters has not really been spoken about by the governor. He did, in his State of the State address, talk a little bit about ethics and about transparency. And I think this is a big part of that.
Let's talk a little bit about giving some testimony. Did anybody in the House or anybody in the Senate reach out to Common Cause and ask your thoughts, or ask you if you would like to give any testimony, either to support or to talk against this legislation?
Yes, there were a number of Democratic legislators who did reach out to the progressive groups, but like you said, they're a small minority in our legislature. And so I was at many a committee hearing on this, and the committee hearing in the House, led by Chairman of Elections Pete Lund, as you know, is an ALEC member, a member of the American Legislative Exchange Council, and this is a cookie cutter bill of theirs. And so there really wasn't a whole lot of interest in what we had to say, unfortunately.
We know, and certainly so much of the good work that Common Cause has done, and there's been plenty of good work that Common Cause has done, we know that you have certainly been able to demonstrate and articulate throughout the country that the kind of laws that the Michigan legislature is trying to accomplish through these Senate bills. And again, let me give the numbers out again, 751, 754, and 803. We know this kind of legislation has not done anything to shore up what may be holes or leaks in voter fraud or in any kind of illegal activity. In fact, we would have to really look to see that laws have been broken. And in fact, if we find laws that have been broken, this kind of legislation wouldn't solve those problems anyway.
Absolutely. This would just cause more problems for our elections officials and I think confuse voters, which usually means longer lines at the polls and people turn away.
Well, that brings us back, unfortunately, Melanie McElroy, to where we start. I mean, there's a certain amount. you ask yourself, you know, everybody runs on job creation, right? Let's just be honest about it. There isn't a Republican that you and I couldn't mention right now in the state house that didn't run on job creation. This doesn't really create any jobs at all. In fact, it has nothing to do with employment in any way, shape, or form.
Absolutely. And I mean, the way I look at it, the greatest day in a democracy is Election Day. But in Michigan, we have only 43% of eligible voters coming out to the polls. And what we should be thinking about is, how do we get that number up to 100%? And Michigan's one of the few states left in the country that does not have early voting, does not have no excuse absentee voting, does not have Election Day registration or online voter registration. So in my opinion, instead of making it harder to vote, we should be making voting more accessible for young voters and our seniors and everyone else in Michigan.
Well, you know, folks, I'm sure that maybe the irony didn't escape you, but we, of course, run a public service announcement once, at least once every hour, encouraging people to register to vote. In fact, if you go to thetonyshow.org, at the very top, you can download the form to register. We've been running it for well over a year now. We would have to actually stop that under this legislation.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. That's absolutely insane. Well, we're going to keep an eye on it. Again, the governor's office's number is 517-373-3400. Pay attention, folks. This does matter. It all matters. Melanie McElroy, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Tony.
I appreciate it. This is just wrong. Congressman Gary Peters on the other side. A lot to get to, folks. Stay where you're at. We'll be back on First Shift right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
So far, no accidents on your commute, but we do have some stop-and-go traffic on 94 westbound between Little Mac Avenue and Gratiot, heading over to 275 northbound between Cherry Hill Road and the 96 M14 split. You got slow traffic there. Also got some more brake tappers on 275 southbound between that M14 96 split and Ann Arbor Road. Also 696 westbound between Ryan Road and 75. And 75 southbound between 9 Mile and 8 Mile, you got slow traffic in both those areas. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 80 degrees. Tonight, clear skies and 58. Tomorrow, 87 and mostly sunny, and it's currently 51 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. It's being seen as a huge victory for organizing in Alabama. Nearly 1,200 workers at a Russellville, Alabama Pilgrim's Pride poultry plant will soon be represented by the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union. 706 of the workers voted in favor of union representation, making it the largest union victory in that state in more than a decade. The company has said it will begin recognizing the union as the representative of the workers as soon as the National Labor Relations Board certifies the vote. That could happen by the end of this month. The union said the biggest issue the workers expressed was a need to have a stronger voice in how the company makes decisions that impacts their day-to-day lives. Is Iowa Governor Terry Barnstad aiming to take a page from the playbook of his neighbor Governor Scott Walker? Fresh off Walker's recall victory last week, Barnstad has been making a great deal of noise in Iowa press that labor unions in his state should see Wisconsin as a message. Barnstad said he'll use the Walker win to get unions to agree to make members pay 20% of the cost for health care premiums. In February, the Iowa legislators sought to make public sector employees pay $2,400 a year in premiums. That bill failed to pass, and it also failed to include state legislators in the premium payment requirement. AFSCME Council 61 President Danny Homan told the Des Moines Register that Barnstad, making demands in the press, amounted to not negotiating in good faith. Last week saw more negative headlines for one of the primary overseas manufacturers for companies like Apple and Microsoft. Reportedly, nearly 1,000 Foxconn employees rioted last week, according to Hong Kong-based newspaper Ming Pao. While the company's official statement said the riot was related to a disagreement between some of their workers and a local eatery, Ming Pao reports that the riot was due to the way employees are treated by security staff and also Foxconn paying low wages. On average, Foxconn workers make $1.50 per hour. The company employs 1.2 million workers in China, and for the last decade has been the focus of numerous studies related to working conditions.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Pacifica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 7 o'clock. We've been talking about a lot of challenges today. Voter suppression laws here in the state of Michigan, as we'll talk in just a little, about an hour from now, with Lori Lamran from Planned Parenthood, what the state legislature has done with regard to the war on women in the state of Michigan, these new series of anti-women bills that have moved their way through the House. Is there any good news out there? I do actually have some. I promised you I did. And not only is this good news, it's something that you're going to want to hear. There's, at the federal level, bipartisan support for it. Let me turn my attention now to Congressman Gary Peters, who joins us now. He's here to talk to us about the Preserving American Home Ownership Act of 2012, which, by the way, has bipartisan support in the House of Representatives. A little later on this morning, he, as well as members from the real estate community and the business community, will be holding a press conference to talk about this proposed legislation and what we can do to get it enacted and what it will do for those that are underwater in their mortgages. And, Congressman, I want to welcome you back to First Shift.
Tony, it's always a pleasure to be with you.
This is a serious time for solutions. For those of us, and I'm one of these people, by the way, that is deeply underwater with my home. I've lived there a long time. I, like a lot of people, refinance when it was cheap and foolish not to do it. And by the way, I put that money back into the home, back into the economy. I hired local people to do the work that we did. Now I got a problem, but Congressman, there's nothing I can do about it.
Well, that's why we have to deal with the mortgage issue and the fact that so many folks are so deeply underwater. It's really quite an overhang on the economy as well. If the residential real estate market is weak, it's difficult to get the economy going. And it's an issue that if we see continued foreclosures, those foreclosures then depress the real estate market even further. And as it depresses the market further, you get more foreclosures. So you're basically in a vicious cycle that we have to break. That's why I've been working for some time on this legislation, now introduced it, as you mentioned, in a bipartisan way. Mr. Campbell out of California, a Republican, has joined with me. We'll have a number of other Democrats and Republicans joining you in the next couple of weeks for this legislation, which takes folks who are seriously underwater, who are facing foreclosure, and other ways of helping them, like principal forbearance or interest rate reduction, simply don't work. And what it does is it actually reduces the mortgage value down to about 115% of what the value of the house is. And if you continue to make your payments on that property over a three-year period, it gets reduced to 95%. So basically a little less than what the value of the house is in the marketplace. You have to keep making your payments, keep doing what you're doing, which most people want to stay in their house and keep making those payments, but they also want to see light at the end of the tunnel, that they're made even. The only catch to it, it's a shared appreciation model. So it says then if you turn around and sell your house later and you sell it for a greater price than what the principal has been reduced to, then you share 50-50 with the lending institution up to the amount that was forgiven for you. So you would share the appreciation, but you'd still get the appreciation as you go forward. But most importantly, you know, there'll be light at the end of the tunnel in stabilizing the real estate market.
Well, you know, Congressman, just as I hold you to a certain standard, you would hold me and my profession to a certain standard. I did some homework on this before we had you on today. On this is the Preserving American Homeownership Act in F-2012. I'm having a hard time finding anybody from any political ideology that has an issue with this legislation. Can I feel optimistic that maybe we need to tweak a few things, work through a few things, but we might find a compromise and actually get this passed?
Well, hopefully this is not a partisan issue. This is something that actually financially makes good sense as well with the institutions. In fact, you're seeing some smaller banks around the country are engaged in this. You've got a servicer, a national servicer, that's pushing this because it's good for those folks who service mortgages. They like to keep people in houses and paying their mortgages because that's how they make their money as well. And we did this pilot program that we'll be creating with Freddie and Fannie Mae in order to do this. Has to be a net positive for the taxpayers as well. So we know that if a property goes into foreclosure, it ends up costing even more money because these houses sell for less than what is a typical market rate. There's a larger loss. So it's in everybody's interest to keep a homeowner in the house making their payments, even though there is a loss on it to write it down to the market value. It's less of a loss than if the house went into foreclosure. And because of the shared appreciation, some of that money will be recovered as well. So I think it's a solid financial solution that financial institutions and taxpayers and homeowners all win.
Well, I really do believe that if enough homeowners hear about this, certainly the press conference today, and it's my prayer, and I mean my prayer that press shows up today and then reports this as they should. It's my prayer that as you pick up more co-sponsors, they do similar press conferences around the country, and again, the press shows up in those local communities. Because I really do believe, Congressman Gary Peters, that if we get enough people at the local level picking up the phone and calling their members of Congress and saying we need to pass the Preserving American Home Ownership Act of 2012, it actually happens.
Yeah, and I think, you know, certainly this is something that every member of Congress has to deal with this issue back home. The foreclosure problem and the depressed real estate market is not unique to any one congressional district. It impacts our whole country. And certainly there is broad agreement that it is a big drag on the overall economy as well. We have to work our way through this. We have to find a common sense way that creates a win-win. And I believe that we've got that. In fact, the Center for American Progress just wrote a very strong piece urging folks to consider this. It was just in the Washington Press here a couple days ago. Hopefully, we'll continue to get momentum to move forward.
And in fact, I'm going to post that. The Associated Press picked it up. I'm going to post that to our Facebook page because I want people not just to read it. I want them to share it. Let me, if I can, very quickly, and then we'll let you take off because we know you've got a busy day. I'm quoting your colleague Republican John Campbell from California. This is his quote. The answer to this country's housing crisis is to not sit idly by, entrenched in stubborn ideology, while the housing market continues to deteriorate. Instead, we must address the crisis by taking steps that encourage homeowners to take proactive steps while minimizing costs to the American taxpayer. That's pretty simple and straightforward, Congressman Peters.
It really is, and certainly appreciate John's comments. We've worked together. Yeah, he is a Republican on the committee. This is in the Financial Services Committee, which I serve on. We work together there and believe that we've got to work in a bipartisan way to get it done. And this should not be about ideology. It should be about practical problem solving. And we've now got a solution that's practical problem solving that ends up to be a net win to taxpayers and to homeowners and to the lenders. That should be something we get through. But like anything else in Congress, folks need to to hear from their constituents. So people need to be calling their members of Congress.
Well, we're going to do that. I want you to know that I did call Speaker Boehner's office yesterday and made a request to interview him on this topic. Now, they haven't gotten back to me yet. I normally let these things go because I don't expect the Speaker's office to get back with me. I'm not letting this one go. This is one that he needs to get on board with. There's no reason for him not to do that.
Well, I appreciate those efforts and appreciate the efforts of your listeners to get behind it as well. You know, we've got to be focused on the economy and getting things moving. We have seen positive job growth in this economy, but it's still not what we'd like. And a big reason for that is the really very, very weak housing market. And all we're asking for is make sure that homeowners have light at the end of the tunnel. They know they can continue to make their investment in that property be made even and then continue to invest in that property. And as it appreciates, they benefit as well as the lender that cut some slack to folks. But it is, as I mentioned, a win-win for all parties. This is the kind of practical problem-solving that we need in Washington, and we need to pass it quickly.
Well, again, as soon as I went to the link that was provided to me on the Preserving American Homeownership Act of 2012 and read the first three bullet points, I got a smile on my face because, again, now it's personal, Congressman Peters. That's let me just be honest about it. This is a little personal for me.
Well, it's personal to a lot of people, and that's the main issue. This is something that now you've got, close to 30% of the people in the country are underwater in their mortgages. Housing values have dropped dramatically. You may have seen the recent report from the Federal Reserve that said that we had a large drop in the net worth, particularly of middle-class taxpayers or homes as a result of housing prices that have dropped. This is an issue that has to be dealt with, and until it is dealt with, we're not going to see the kind of recovery that we need in our economy.
Well, no question it's true. Congressman, good luck with the press conference later on this morning. Thank you for your time, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you again soon.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Tony. Have a good one.
Congressman Gary Peters, I'm going to make sure that we get this posted to the this interview posted to the Facebook page. This is something you want to share with people. Folks, we can disagree on a lot of things, but one of them can't be finding some way to equalize what's happened in the housing market. I have real good, solid friends that are realtors, that are Republicans. Yes, I do have friends that are Republicans. I know some of you just don't believe that. It's true. I have lots of friends that are Republicans. Many of them are realtors that have had a very difficult decade in their profession. I'd love to see them do well again. I really would. So that we can argue about something more than what we argue about these days, which I'm not going to get into right now. We'll get all this stuff on the Facebook page eventually. All right, we're open lines to the top of the hour, so feel free to give us a call. But we got to get to the break. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. I'm going to give out the governor's number again on the other side of this break as well. Stay where you're at. This is For a Shift on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Congress and I have certainly had our differences. I want to especially thank all the members who took a break from their exhausting schedule of not passing any laws to be here tonight.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive hours of talk, 1310 WDTW.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Joining us now is Susan Demish.
I don't have an issue with people switching parties. You know, if it's a decision of conscience, people's thinking of all, I get that. But it's really hard to argue that this is a deep-seated, philosophical, wrenching decision that the representative made when he switched parties 10 minutes before the filing deadline on Tuesday, and he never said boo about his unhappiness to any of his Democratic colleagues, to his staff, who are now out of the job, or to the leadership. I mean, this was a very brazen political move.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, welcome back. We're open lines at the top, so feel free to call us, 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595, Tony at thetonyshow.org, on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. We are three away from 1,100 likes on Facebook, so feel free to like us on Facebook. Just go to Facebook, search for First Shift, and I had to, by the way, ban someone yesterday. I'll talk about that in a minute. Jeff said that a caller shared with us that, that we were giving out the governor's number, which we're going to do here again in just a moment, that the voicemail is full and they can't leave a message. I'm not surprised by that. I would prefer, actually, you called after 9 o'clock when somebody will actually answer the phone. Unless, I understand some people are a little weird about doing that. I don't know if they clean out the messages. So I'm assuming they do, but I don't know that to be a fact. So you may not be able to ever leave a message. But I do know that if you call, because I've done it lots of times, they're not going to ask you to identify yourself unless you want to be identified. So don't worry about that. The number to the governor's office, 517-373-3400, 517-373-3400. And we want to, again, encourage him to not sign legislation that's coming his way on the anti-abortion, anti-women stuff that cleared the House yesterday, or the voter suppression bills that are going to clear the Senate later on today. One of my friends, listeners, Marcy, sent me a, she's a notary, she sent me a piece from a website that she is engaged with that's specific to her industry. And it says, unmarried couples will be able to register for domestic partnership rights in Tampa Bay, Florida, using a new registry scheduled to launch later this month. The registry requires notarized affidavits by both partners and will grant rights similar to those legally granted through traditional marriage. Goes on to say the registry, which was approved by the Tampa Bay City Council in April and launches in late May, so it's now launched, is open to gay or straight unmarried couples who currently live together. It recognizes the rights of the partners to visit one another in the hospital, make health care decisions for an incapacitated partner, serve as the emergency notification contact for a partner, oversee funeral arrangements for a partner, and make educational choices for the children of a partner. Right? The registry is open to residents both in Tampa Bay and those residing in other cities and states. though the rights will only apply within Tampa city limits. Both individuals and the unmarried couple and the unmarried couple must show up together in Tampa Bay to register and must both be physically present with acceptable forms of identification to have their signatures notarized on a registry affidavit. I think that's very cool. But Marcy, being smart, asks the obvious question, which is, how long before the hate mongers do something about it? Great question. Hope that they don't. Jeff reminds me, the governor's Twitter account is at one tough nerd. We don't follow him, do we, Jeff?
I don't think so.
Maybe we should.
I'll do that, then.
We're kind of judicious about who we follow. We don't follow a whole lot of people for a variety of reasons, because we obviously get lots of information, and I know that, you know, not unlike me, Jeff, you're an information overload. And that's not a bad thing. It's just the truth. It's a reality. But it might not be a bad idea to follow the governor just to kind of see what's going on. Okay, 888-552-3595. I'll remind you, in the next hour, David Hecker, president of the American Federation of Teachers, will be with us. We are going to talk as well about the Protect Our Jobs, the organized labor. Sent out lots of emails yesterday, late in the afternoon, that the coalition of union and non-union folks collected well in excess of the number of signatures they needed to place that constitutional question on the ballot come November 6th. And I'm sure that there will be lots of people looking at those signatures to make sure that they're good. I'm sure that there will be some obligatory challenges. I'm also sure that that will be for naught. And the good news will be eventually, we'll get word that that'll be on that question will be on the ballot. Protect Our Jobs, Democracy in the Workplace will become a constitutional right, as it should be. All right. Now, normally I certainly wouldn't talk about another radio show. Not that I have a problem, especially with Charlie Langton, who is a friend. I know Charlie well. Known Charlie a very long time. And I do consider Charlie a friend. And yes, we are competitors. We're both on at the same time. He interviewed Troy Mayor Janice Daniels. Was this yesterday, Jeff?
I do believe so.
Yeah. You want to share with the audience what she had to say to my friend Charlie?
Basically, that whatever she said before she got elected doesn't count. You should just forget about that. And went on to talk more about her views and the recall effort.
By the way, she really feels like those recall efforts just ridiculous, and we all should just get along, right? We should make an effort to just get along.
That's her.
Yeah, I you know. She talked about the gay question. And she says what she said. I'm going to quote her directly. What I said while I was mayor, I was in a business meeting. I came from a business perspective. I said that I would bring a doctor into a meeting that would say that the homosexual lifestyle is dangerous. Had I had been with a group of smokers, I might have said I would like to bring a doctor into a meeting to say that smoking is dangerous. I'm just trying to figure out how being gay is hazardous to your health, Jeff. Can you help me with that one, or do you not know?
I'm not sure, but don't tell the DMC.
All right. There you go. So Charlie Langton then asked her, is it dangerous to be gay? And this is what Janice Daniels said. I think the doctors can make a case for it, certainly. the mayor said, and then adding that she had no opinion on whether being gay is more dangerous than smoking. But she'll make the statement, but she doesn't have an opinion. Sounds like Michael Patrick Shields, doesn't it? Daniels came under fire, of course, for using the word queers on her Facebook page, and we can go on, but y'all know what she did. Of course, we just have the recall folks, Matt Binkowski from a recalled Janice Daniels campaign on the show a couple days ago, who told us that they had more than enough signatures to get it on the ballot, and that within the next 3 weeks we'll get news that, yes, indeed, that's going to happen. They feel very confident, as they should, that they have registered voters.
And silly us, at the time we made the comment, well, she hasn't said anything dumb in a while.
And here she goes.
Right on cue.
Right on cue. Well, that's right. Well, listen, if you are If you are, can you, I guess you can be formerly gay, but is that like being a, formerly a smoker? Oh, what I could do with this right now, and I just, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I don't have time. David Hecker, when we continue here on First Shift, but we got to take a break for the top of the hour. Feel free to stay with us. In the meantime, we'll take a break. Not that I need more coffee, but I'm going to get some. We'll be back. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
So far, no accidents on your commute, but we do have some stop-and-go traffic on 94 westbound between Little Mac Avenue and Gratiot, heading over to 275 northbound between Cherry Hill Road and the 96 M14 split. You got slow traffic there. Also got some more brake tappers on 275 southbound between that M14 96 split and Ann Arbor Road. Also 696 westbound between Ryan Road and 75 and 75 southbound between 9 Mile and 8 Mile. You got slow traffic in both those areas. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 80 degrees. Tonight, clear skies and 58. Tomorrow, 87 and mostly sunny, and it's currently 51 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
News Radio, I'm Bart Necker. President Obama will be visiting New York City later today. He'll meet with construction workers at the World Trade Center site. The president will also travel to Ohio, where Mitt Romney will be on the campaign trail. Here is NBC's Chuck Todd.
Their paths aren't going to cross in Ohio. The president's going to be in Cleveland, Mitt Romney in Cincinnati. But their messages are almost going to be identical, that they, and not the other guy, has the best path forward for the American economy.
An enormous wildfire northwest of Fort Collins, Colorado, continues to rage. It's blackened close to 47,000 acres, with containment only at 10%. In New Mexico, the largest fire in that state's history is now 51% contained. Lottery officials say a single winning ticket was sold in Iowa for the $240 million Powerball jackpot. Last night's big drawing boasts a one-time cash value of nearly $160 million. This is NBC News Radio. Matt Cain of the San Francisco Giants has thrown a perfect game. Cain pitched to perfecto over the Houston Astros in San Francisco. Here is NBC's Fred Rogan.
27 up, 27 down for Matt Cain. Giants won it 10 to nothing. Cain just the 22nd pitcher in league history to pitch a perfect game.
Seven-time Tour de France champion Lance Armstrong is facing new allegations of doping. The U.S. Anti-Doping Agency is bringing formal charges against the cyclist that could cost him his 7 Tour de France titles. Armstrong has been immediately banned from competing in triathlons. More properties are going to foreclosure. A new report from RealtyTrack shows foreclosure filings were reported on nearly 206,000 properties in May. That's an increase of 9% from April, but it's down 4% from May of 2011. The report also shows one in every 639 housing units with a foreclosure filing during the month. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Bart Necker, NBC News Radio.
You haven't entered the O'Reilly Auto Parts Summer Gas Giveaway. What are you waiting for? Right now through July 10th, one lucky winner each day will win free gas for an entire year. But you can't win if you don't play. So get to O'Reilly Auto Parts now. Play every day to win. O'Reilly Auto Parts. No purchase necessary. See O'ReillyAuto.com/giveaway for official rules and details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Home Depot has made a special buy on the new Hunter Fairhaven indoor ceiling fan with remote control, just $99.88. How's that for a breath of fresh savings? People have looked up to Hunter for over 100 years. Now you can look up to one for under $100. Thanks to the exclusive Hunter Fairhaven ceiling fan with remote control, just $99.88. More saving,
more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through July 29th. U.S. only. See store for details.
The time is soon coming for owners of Apple devices. Time Incorporated, by far the biggest magazine publisher in the nation, has now agreed to make 20 of its publications available through Apple's newsstand service, including, of course, Time, also Sports Illustrated, People, Entertainment Weekly. It had held back from Apple devices because it didn't like some restrictions it imposed. But as more magazines are sold on Amazon Kindles and on Android devices, Apple has loosened some of those restrictions. Record high fuel prices and a big recession provided a 1-2 combination punch, knocking the wind out of the RV business. But it looks like that business is getting back on the open road. This morning, Winnebago reports that last quarter its profit tripled from a year ago, says it expects more good news the rest of the year. Readings of new jobless claims for last week and consumer price inflation for last month will be released in the hour ahead. And ahead of that, S&P and NASDAQ futures each are losing a point and a half. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
At Regions, we're building a better banking experience for each small business customer. That means giving you the basics, like checking and savings, as well as offering the right lending options. Because we understand how important capital, revenue, and cash flow are to your small business. So if you're ready for a bank that's as committed to growing your business as you are, switch to Regions. Visit Regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to respect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC. All loans subject to credit approval. See individual account disclosures for details.
Smart companies everywhere are getting dressed at Land's End Business Outfitters. We'll embroider your company logo on everything from polos to outerwear. Our quality will unify your team and make your brand better. Small companies to market leaders like Hampton Hotels and Southwest Airlines are dressing their employees at Land's End Business Outfitters. Now let us show you your good name on our good products. Visit landsend.biz. That's landsend.biz.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. No nonsense. Just people.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Tuesday, the 14th day of June 2012. It's going to be a beautiful day weather-wise. We've got a lot of great conversation to get to in this hour, and we will. I do want to remind you a little later on, Lori Lamram, the president of Planned Parenthood of Mid and South Michigan, will be with us as she will be heading to Lansing a little bit later on today. We're going to ask you to join her if you can. But before we get to that, of course, we have to chat with David Hecker, president of the American Federation of Teachers. So let's do that intro and let's get this thing going.
The empowering voice of the American Federation of Teachers, Michigan.
Public education is so important, obviously, for what the children and the young adults learn. But it's beyond that. It's social interaction. It's learning how to conduct yourself in society, to deal with people who you agree with, disagree with, deal with people who you like, don't like. And it helps mold people into becoming a good, active, involved citizen.
In with Tony
is President
David Hecker.
And joining us this morning via the telephone is the president himself, Mr. David Hecker. David, a pleasure to have you back on First Shift this morning.
It's great to be on, as always, Tony.
First of all, I want to congratulate you and both our brothers and sisters inside and outside of organized labor turning in some almost 700,000 signatures that will place a constitutional question on the ballot that protects all working people in the state of Michigan. I think this is very good news.
Well, thank you, Tony. It's great news, and you made a great, great point when you were commenting. Organized labor, our members, teachers, nurses, firefighters, police, auto workers, retail clerks, truck drivers, I could go down the line, did a fantastic job circulating petitions. But a key thing you said is inside and outside the labor movement. Well, you know, hundreds of thousands of signatures, so many from people who are not in labor unions but have a job that is not unionized but understands that the value of collective bargaining to all working people, be they covered by a contract or not, community people who understand that when a collective bargaining agreement results in better compensation and better benefits, that there's a few more bucks in your pocket to spend on Main Street in the small business. It's a broad breadth of the types of people who have said, absolutely, I'm going to sign this petition. We need to get this on the ballot, and we need to put it in our Constitution.
And certainly, David, before we move on to our topic du jour, you know, it's important that people understand that now the task in front of us is educating people as to exactly what this ballot initiative will say and do, and so that they can make an educated decision. And like everything else we do on this show, everything else we do inside and outside of organized labor, and who better to talk about the educational aspect of this or any other initiative, David Hecker, it's critical that people gather the information, weigh it appropriately, decide what is best for you and your family, and then vote accordingly. And that's all we'll ever ask of anybody.
Absolutely. That's all we ask of voters. That's all we ask of our elected officials in Lansing or Washington. We are on every issue, be it this ballot proposal or a legislative issue or a policy issue, we are always very, very comfortable in saying, look at the research, look at the experience, what does that tell you? And we're comfortable with that because the ideas, the policies, the programs we put forth are grounded in that research. All too often, elected officials who oppose us sort of don't really care that much about what the research says. It is looking to advance their political agenda.
Well, again, when I got word yesterday, ironically, we were talking about this on Tuesday with our mutual friend Chris Mihalakis, and I said, I'm not sure, you know, how they're doing on signature gathering. I know it's going well. Don't know when they're going to be handing those signatures in, but I'm sure it'll be soon. And sure enough, it was yesterday. And in the middle of what's been a lot of different firestorms, voter suppression, war on women, it was nice to get some good news, David Hecker. It absolutely was.
The good news is fantastic. You know, last week we, Coalition of Unions, us, the MEA, asked me if SEIU secured an injunction putting a stay on the bill that stopped dues deduction for school employees. That was good news. And then this is just fantastic news that in a short time frame, 700,000 people signed this petition, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people circulated the petition. You know, didn't just sign, but they went out and secured the signatures. So it is, as you're saying, Tony, it is very, very invigorating when you see people coming together like that in support of other people.
Well, our topic for today, and David, let me frame it this way: we are now, of course, ramping up for summer campaigns, whether that's at the local level, the state level, the federal level. I want to talk a little bit, if we could, if you wouldn't mind, about what's happening at the federal level. I do want to point out to this audience that the American Federation Federation of Teachers, if they weren't the first, they were one of the first national unions to endorse Barack Obama for the presidency, for his reelection campaign. So it got me to thinking. As it comes to education, and listen, we've talked in the past that there's certainly more this president can do and will do. Let's talk, though, about if we should, and we should, about Mitt Romney. I don't know that I know a lot about where he stands on education. David, do you?
Well, I didn't know much until the other day, and I don't really know that much now. But I know what he put forth in an education speech that he gave about a week ago, which is laying out his education agenda. And his, you know, talking about, we need policies based in research. It isn't exactly what, I think his campaign staff, you know, sat down, had a beer, thought for an hour and came up with these things, because there's nothing in here grounded in research, and there's nothing in here that hasn't been tried before and not worked. You know, for example, he doesn't use the term voucher, but he supports public school vouchers. And, which, as you know, as your listeners know, 12 years ago, this in Michigan, the voters turned vouchers down 2-1, overwhelmingly 2-1. Vouchers drain money from our public schools. It does nothing to enhance schools that need to do better. In fact, it hurts those schools. And, you know, vouchers also, on the other side, never provide people with close to enough money, you know, to go to Detroit Country Day, just as one example. It isn't like with vouchers, everybody is going to have a choice of whatever school they want to go to. And even if they have the funds, they don't have the choice, because the private school picks the student. The student doesn't pick the private school. But, you know, as bad, if not worse than that, the money for his voucher program, he wants to take the Title I money, which is federal money, that goes to districts with low-income students. So it's extra money to deal with the issues that low-income students tend, with exception, but tend to bring to the table. He also wants to take the money away from special education students that the federal government provides, which is inadequate to begin with, and use the money designated for lower-income kids, for special needs kids, take that money and turn it into a voucher program. So on both sides of it, the outcome of the vouchers and the input of where he wants to get the money, it's just absurd. You know, Title I schools or Title I districts without Title I money, I don't know what those districts would do here, you know, here in Michigan and elsewhere. And every child, special needs or not, deserves a fantastic education. And that IDA money, the special education money, is imperative. There's also a great line, you know, talking about in his program, college affordability. He doesn't think that federal student aid should really works. He blames federal student aid for the increase in college tuition. He suggests students borrow from their parents. And then there's a great line here about what he wants to do. He wants to empower families to save for their children's education by making money earned on savings interest, capital gains, and dividends tax-free for all middle-class taxpayers. Well, I don't know many middle-class taxpayers that have enough savings that the interest amounts to anything. I know very few who have capital gains or have stock at all, or enough stock that the dividends amounts to more than a few dollars. So it's such an out-of-touch position, thinking that the middle class has all this stock and big savings coming in to help pay for their kids' education. And talking about being out of touch, you know, he was quoted the other day as having no idea that the federal government provides money for teachers, firefighters, et cetera.
Yeah, let's come back and talk about that. We've got to take the break here, David Eckert. Sure. We'll do that, because that I did a national show this week, and that was a huge issue for important and obvious reasons. Well, they're obvious and important to us, but not necessarily to Mitt Romney nor his campaign team, which should be troubling in and of itself. They're government workers, right? Government workers. 888-552-3595 if you care to join us. David Hecker, again, my guest. He is the president of the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan. A quick break here. First Shift continues right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trivia. President Obama wanted to move the dinner to the Kennedy Center this year, but the Republicans wanted to keep it here at the Hilton, so they compromised, and here we are at the Hilton.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, we got our first accident of the morning. It's blocking your right shoulder on the Jeffries and the express lanes eastbound at Evergreen Road. Also, we got jammed traffic on 275 northbound between Cherry Hill Road and the 96 M14 exit. And 275 southbound between 7 Mile and Ann Arbor Road. It's a slow go there. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 80 degrees. Tonight, clear skies and 58. Tomorrow, 87 and mostly sunny, and it's currently 51 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Elizabeth Weiger joins us now.
The founders of our nation who wrote the Constitution specifically gave the federal government the power to speak with one voice for our nation with respect to immigration and foreign affairs. And so the Solicitor General, Don Verrilli, made this argument to the court yesterday saying, look, you know, the way that we treat non-citizens and nationals of other countries within our borders is a serious matter that has foreign affairs implications that affects everyone in the United States. So what Arizona or Alabama or Utah chooses to do in harassing people in its state so much so that they, as Arizona puts it, self-deport, that has implications for the country as a whole. And that's why individual states should not be setting immigration policy like Arizona.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
First word.
First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW. With Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. For those of you who weren't understanding the reference that David Hecker and I made right before the break, Mitt Romney, after Wisconsin, sent a clear message to President Obama when he said, you didn't get the memo from Wisconsin. We don't need more firefighters, policemen, and teachers. We don't need any more government workers. David Hecker, We don't need more government workers. I'm sorry, maybe I don't understand this properly. Are teachers really technically government workers?
Well, first of all, it's interesting that a man who wants to run to head up the government doesn't believe in quote-unquote government workers, so, you know, why should he get the job as a quote-unquote government worker? It is the usual rhetoric of people like Mitt Romney, because they have a poll that shows the word government may not be the most popular word around. So they then label everybody with that. Parents, children, and their parents don't care what you call the man or the woman who's in front of their child, educating their child and doing so much for their child. He wants to call them government workers. What parents care about is there are skilled, committed men and women who are educating their children. Firefighters, he could call them what they want. I want to know that if, God forbid, my home is on fire, I got skilled and expert firefighters coming out to take care of that problem, regardless of what you call them.
Well, let's explore this for a moment. I think this is an important conversation to have, David Hecker. This guy's basically doing a six-year job interview. Mitt Romney's been running for the presidency for 6 years now. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't get at this point that, we want safer communities, we want more educated constituencies, and one of the ways that we have to do that is we have to make sure we have teachers in the classroom that are themselves well-educated, that they have a path to continue that education, and that we properly compensate them so the best and the brightest are teaching the next generation of leaders. Of course, if we use the Michigan model, we can't wrap our heads around that, but we're talking about a federal model. So are we just getting really a slicked back, haired Rick Snyder at the federal level by attaching our wagon to Mitt Romney?
It is every decision is by Mitt Romney, by Governor Snyder, is politically made. The legislature, the Republicans in the legislature want to speed up the rollback of the income tax to give families an extra $15 a year and take millions and millions and millions of dollars away from education and other important work the state of Michigan does, because they feel that a poll told them that that could get them three more votes. And by using the term government worker, a poll told them that. It's insulting to the people of Michigan. It's insulting to the people of the country. Again, people want, as you said, skilled, committed teachers. They want skilled, committed firefighters, nurses. They're not gonna fool people by trying to put a label on them when there's a word in that label that may not be the most popular word around. Mitt Romney, knows we need teachers. He doesn't care about that. He cares about, what is the poll tell him is the path for him to get three more votes. Now, he's wrong on that, but, that's his decision-making criteria.
Well, and it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, I would think, for his campaign. It certainly is unfortunate for the country. And it's just one of these things where, again, as we work our way through the summer, as we work our way through the early parts of the fall, we've got a couple conventions coming up here in a couple months, David Hecker. We're certainly going to ask Mitt Romney, and I would think that the AFT would do this. We're certainly going to ask Mitt Romney the same questions we would ask Barack Obama. You've invited a nation of teachers to our backyard in next month. You've invited a nation of teachers to come visit us. I would think that they're deserving of some answers from Mitt Romney, are they not?
Absolutely deserving of answers, and they're deserving to know if you were president, Mitt Romney, what would you do to further enhance our public schools? What would you do to address the issues that too many public schools have? What would you do to make good schools better, to make schools not performing as we want them to become good schools? What would you do? taking money away from those schools isn't going to do it. How are you going to provide for the future of our kids? How are you going to make sure they can afford college? Counting on middle-class families to have big stock portfolios and pay for their kids' education through dividends isn't going to do it because it doesn't exist. They're going to want real, they want real answers now. They're going to want real answers when they're in Detroit at the end of, July. And I guarantee you, Tony, they're not going to get real answers from Mitt Romney.
Now, this is what I'm excited about, just very briefly, not that I'm toot my own horn here, but the show is going to be very active, with the, AFT, convention that's going to be here in Detroit this year. And I'm very much looking forward to not just being on air with a lot of these people, but you've invited me and given me unusual access to the entire conference. So I am going to get a real opportunity to talk to teachers all over, not only just the country, all over the world. You've got some international folks coming
Absolutely.
Into town as well. And I'm just very excited about that, David.
It's, you know, when we have our national convention, as with other organizations, but we would have national convention, you know, there's important business, done on the floor, very important business. But in addition to that, it's, as you're saying, it's the opportunity for all of us to talk with each other, to talk with teachers, school employees, university professors, grad assistants, throughout the country, learn about what they're doing, learn how they've addressed certain issues. And on the international front, I think I may have mentioned this on a prior show, that this past summer I was a delegate from the AFT to Education International, the national umbrella group of all education unions in the world. And, you know, country after country are facing the same issues. Teachers in those countries are facing the same issues. The defunding of public education, the privatization of public education to take public education money meant for our kids and using it to line the pockets of for-profit corporations. It is happening, in country after country. And it's when we come together, we talk about those things and try to figure out together how to fight back.
Well, the good news for this audience is that we are going to have an opportunity to explore these issues, to ask these questions and to get answers to them. Again, during the national or the international convention of the AFT, which will be here, and really in a few short weeks. David, I know you've got a very busy day today. We're up against the break, so we're going to let you go now, but we'll look forward
Thank
to visiting
you,
with you very shortly. Thanks for your time today.
Great. Have a great day.
Absolutely. Right. David Hecker, once again, president of the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan. When we come back, Lori Lamoran from Planned Parenthood of Mid and South Michigan, a busy, busy day. Not just for Planned Parenthood or the National Organization of Women or the ACLU or you or women or men. We have got to fight. We have got to fight. Now we have to fight. Are you willing to step up? Our poll question, by the way, on Facebook is about that issue. Are you willing to stand up today? Let's take the break. First Shift continues after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, we got our first accident of the morning. It's blocking your right shoulder on the Jeffries and the express lanes eastbound at Evergreen Road. Also, we got jammed traffic on 275 northbound between Cherry Hill Road and the 96 M14 exit. And 275 southbound between 7 Mile and Ann Arbor Road. It's a slow go there. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 80 degrees. Tonight, clear skies and 58. Tomorrow, 87 and mostly sunny, and it's currently 51 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Joining me now is Madeline Coonan.
You know, I had no clue that we would be talking about contraception in 2012. That takes us back to the 1930s or 40s, you know, when Margaret Sanger, who started the birth control movement, was arrested for opening a clinic. You know, progress is not necessarily a straight line upward.
On 1310 WDTW.
In the realm of prevarication, there are deceivers, fibbers, liars, and Bank of America. For weeks, this financial behemoth has been running a nationwide PR blitz, portraying itself as a lovable bunch of public-spirited bankers. Never mind its two taxpayer bailouts, constant fee gouging, illegal foreclosures on homeowners, firing of 36,000 employees, etc. Before you believe a word that these truth adjusters say, note that they've even been caught lying outright to their own shareholders, the owners of the bank. Following the 2007-2008 Wall Street collapse, not only did BOA get a $15 billion bailout, but it was also allowed to get bigger by snapping up the foundering investment giant Merrill Lynch. To win shareholder approval of this merger, the bank's top executives issued a rosy assessment of the takeover, promising golden profits within a year or so. Court documents in a shareholder lawsuit, however, recently revealed that the honchos, including the CEO, knew at the time of the shareholder vote that the numbers were materially false and that swallowing Merrill would choke the owners with billions of dollars in losses. Moreover, the deal struck by the geniuses at the top was so bad that they also knew they would have to get a second federal bailout of $20 billion to stave off total collapse. Shareholders, who were told none of this, unwittingly voted to okay the merger. Even BOA's top lawyer was kept in the dark. When he learned of the big lie 2 days after the shareholder vote, he tried to talk to top executives about the need to admit the ruse. Instead, the next day, the lawyer was summarily fired and escorted from the bank without even being allowed to collect his personal belongings. This is Jim Hightower saying, forget all the PR perfume that BOA is now spritzing around. Bank of America stinks to its core. Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Tribbiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
35 minutes after 8 o'clock, as we've been promising since 6 a.m., I just need to thank Lori Lamoran, the president of Planned Parenthood of Mid and South Michigan, for letting me hog her time all week. She's been on with us, I think this is the third time. I don't care if it's 20 times. It's important that we not ignore our partnership with them, but more importantly, it's important that we not ignore our obligation to one another. And Lori, first of all, let me welcome you back to tell you that, whatever we can do to help you, we're going to do. There's no question that's true. But I thought it was important, and I want to thank you for making some time today to talk about what happened yesterday and what we can do to moving forward. So thanks for being with us this morning.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Tony. Thanks for having us.
Let's first talk about what happened in the House late in the day yesterday with regard to the omnibus package of bills that we have been talking about extensively on this program.
Yeah, no big surprise. They passed it with a significant margin. We had 39 official votes. One of the very sane legislators that understood the problems with this package of bills wasn't able to be present to vote. So overall, we had 40 votes in the House, which is a little more than we thought we might have. So I guess on some levels, we consider this a victory, but certainly the people that lost were the women of Michigan.
Well, the women of Michigan did lose. Now, and I want to be clear, Lori, when I say what I'm about to say, this is me, my opinion, and my fight, this one. But there are six Democrats that voted for this legislation. And once I let you go today, I'm going to name them by name, and I'm going to make sure that as a Democrat, I do my best to make sure that if they can run for re-election, they are defeated, and if they can't, that they don't serve in politics ever again. You don't treat women, Democrats don't treat women the way these six Democrats treated women yesterday. It's unconscionable, Lori Lamoran, what they did, in my opinion.
I agree. And I can add fuel to that fire, frankly, Tony. One of the Democrats that voted wrongly actually took money from Planned Parenthood and our endorsement at the time of her election in 2010. But we won't go down that road right now. I think they're, you know, good thinking people didn't do the right thing. And I think the other thing that bothers me so much about this legislation, in addition to the fact that it was so poorly written and that it had significant inconsistencies, et cetera, is I absolutely believe that the primary purpose for this was to give these folks something to hold up on the campaign trail. And I think that's really unconscionable to say that we're going to do the very worst things for our political gain and really hurt women that could end up needing services that now will not be available to them readily. There were a few provisions, you know, they took the 20-week ban on abortion off the table, in part because I think the state attorney people understood that it was undefendable. It was a completely unconstitutional ban. So we'll see how this goes. I think our next fight is in the Senate and with the governor.
Well, and it is. We have been giving out the number for the governor's office all morning, and I'm going to do it again right now, 517-373-3400. For those of you that did call earlier, you did get voicemail, yes, it's full. I would rather you call after 9 o'clock and talk to a live person anyway. They're not going to be nasty to you. They're going to be very nice to you. In fact, you have no reason not to be nice to them. Just let them know that you want the governor to not sign legislation that may end up on his desk that is unkind to women in the state of Michigan. That's all you need to do. Right, Lori?
That's true, Tony, and I have got to put a big old shout out. I don't know if people have seen on blogs and other places. On Tuesday, we had nearly 400 people in the Capitol and literally in the Capitol, in the House building, in the Capitol, and on three floors surrounding the dome and really chanting, "This is our house," and it was a stirring moment. I was I completely covered in goosebumps and was very emotional at the sorts of commitment that women in Michigan drove from very long distances to be there and have their voice heard. And it struck shades of the Komen controversy, you know, that the thing that I think legislators need to understand is that women are not passive beings that are going to sit back and say you can do whatever you want to our rights. They're, you know, people are coming alive and taking things back, and that does my heart good. That's what democracy is all about. And the women of Michigan absolutely let these legislators know that they were out of bounds and that they weren't going to stand for it. And I hope that, you know, Governor Romney and others are really paying attention, that if this is the sort of thing you're going to engage in, you're not going to like the outcome.
Well, you know, and I've got to tip my hat to a handful of women, proudly women legislators that stood up for all of Michiganders yesterday, including State Representative Lisa Brown, State Representative Rashida Tlaib, and State Representative Barb Byram, for their own courageous reasons, not being afraid to stand up and speak up very passionately, Lori Lamoran, on why it is critical that men stop making decisions for women. And I want to remind this audience, Lori, as we have already twice this week, and we'll do it a third time, they decided, this legislature has decided to do this without asking women what they believe is the right thing to do. How can we make a decision that is so impactful without asking the people that it most affects?
Well, I will never understand that sort of attitude, and I'm glad that you had a shout out for some of our representatives, and you're right. Representative Tlaib and Byram spoke very passionately, but we have to give a special thank you to Representative Lisa Brown, who, against some of the rules in the House, tried to put 10,000 postcards from Michigan women on the desk of the speaker to make a point. And, of course, the sergeants had to escort her out, and she was not allowed to be part of the final proceedings. But she took one for the team in a big way, and we can only thank her loudly and proudly today that she really did stand up. This is not an easy fight, and this is not an easy line to defend, and we have nothing but huge respect for the 40 representatives that did the right thing and stood up for Michigan women.
Well, we will continue to watch what happens. Now, I do understand that there's a contingent going to the state capitol again today. So if people want
there to... There is. They're gathering at 10 a.m. in front of the capitol in kind of a rally you know, we have a little campaign following these types of votes that we affectionately call thanks and spanks, and this is part of that. It is meant to thank those that stood up and did the right thing and to castigate slightly those that didn't. And, you know, I think they will be reminded in November.
That won't be an issue. The reminding people in November will not be an issue. Of course, we still have work to do on the Senate side, and we still have work to do with the governor's office. So, folks, call your state senator and tell them to oppose this package of legislation, this anti-women, anti-health package of legislation. And, again, I'm going to give you the governor's number, 517-373-3400. Very nicely ask him to not sign this legislation if it makes it to his desk. You have every right to do that. I promise you it is not an intimidating process. It is not. So please do that. Lori, I really appreciate you making some time for this morning. I know how busy you are. Of course, we will continue to report. We will continue to advocate. We will continue to do what it is we can do to help you on the air. And in the meantime, we will after the break, I'm going to call out some people, but we'll do that after we let you go. Thank you so much. And of course, we're with you in spirit today.
Thanks, Tony. I appreciate it. And really, folks, reach out and let people know your voice matters. It makes a difference.
Yes, it truly does. Lori Lamoran again with Planned Parenthood of Mid and South Michigan. And we'll make sure that we get this up. We'll get this up on the Facebook page. If not, by the end of the show, I'll do it when I get back to the office. If you want to make a donation to Planned Parenthood, now you understand why we need to make sure that we continue to fund Planned Parenthood. It is the work that they do. The silent majority. That's the part that upsets me more than any of this. You make this decision after a hearty, educated debate. That's one thing. You make this decision having not had a debate. That's not democracy. It's not. That's not what democracy looks like. It's not what democracy was designed to be. You don't make decisions. As I just said with Lori, you don't make decisions without asking the people that are most deeply affected by the decisions that you make. So let me make this personal for you. Think of something that deeply matters to you, whether it's your profession, your hobby, something that's critical to you. Maybe you've got a child with a special need or a medical condition. And imagine that laws were going to be fashioned that would affect that, whatever that is for you, and that you had a point of view, and that you knew that your point of view would not be represented in that legislation, wouldn't you be outraged? Wouldn't you be outraged? I thought so. That is what we're saying here. A quick break here. We'll wrap it up on the other side. Feel free to join me, 888-552-3595. The six Democrats on my S-hit list. That's right, my S-hit list when we stay FCC compliant. Stay with us. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
You know what? Rescue would succeed. It was because I believed in you. I placed my bet on the American worker.
on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Let's welcome Will in Milford.
I think this is a perfect example of what politics have put us in this country. Here we are, citizens, working every day, and it's these splinter issues that get us to arguing amongst each other when those above us who don't feel our pain are more or less in control of all the switches. Because we see teachers and they're in our community, and it's easy for us to make these opinions. While these other individuals, the rich, have already seceded from the nation, they live in gated communities, they go to private schools. They've already moved away from us.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
As promised, I'm going to out the six Democrats that voted against women yesterday. There are six of them. One of them is Charles Bruner of Bay City. Obviously not in our listening area, but that doesn't excuse him. Paul Clement of Lincoln Park, very much within our listening area. Bob Constant of Dearborn Heights, my state rep, very much in our listening area. George Duraney of Dearborn, Richard LeBlanc of Westland, and Lisa Liss of Warren. Now, Lisa Liss, although without saying it, Lisa Liss would be the person that took Planned Parenthood's money and then voted against them. So, Lisa, you've got to be awfully proud of yourself. I often give out asshat awards for Republicans. I'm going to give out every one of these. I'm really disappointed. And you know what, folks? Let me make this real simple for you. Don't you dare tell me that I can't speak ill of a Democrat. Don't you even cross that line with me. What's wrong is wrong. What's right is right. What they did was wrong. This is my opinion. I don't need you to confirm or deny what I feel. I know what I feel. So Charles Bruner, Paul Clement, Bob Constant, George Duraney, and Richard LeBlanc and Lisa Liss should be ashamed of themselves for calling themselves Democrats. Democrats do not act like they did yesterday. That's just the way I feel. All right. We have work to do with those six, and we will make sure we get all our work done. Let me tell you, there's a fundraiser coming up for Congressman John Conyers. I want to let you know about that. And this is kind of cool. It says, join us for a jazzy fundraising party in Palmer Woods on Sunday, June 24th from 4 to 7 p.m. for the jazziest congressman and progressive defender of democracy. That's right, Congressman John Conyers. It's at the home of Everton Swearing and Arthur White. And if you want more information, because I don't like giving out addresses of people's personal homes on the air, send me an email and I will forward to you the contact information. And if you'd like to go to that fundraiser, and then you can go. But I'm happy to do that. Also want to remind you that my friends at the Communication Workers of America, Local 4050, 4080, have been gracious in supporting First Shift. As you know, as we talked to Dave Sklitarczyk on the show more than a few times, the work that they are doing to try to get a fair contract with AT&T is not going as smoothly as we would like. And so we want to remind workers at AT&T that we are fighting for you and we appreciate everything you do. And they're fighting hard to hold on to the American dream. But that's hard to do when AT&T won't hire enough workers to provide the quality service you and I deserve. AT&T is a very successful company, having made last year alone, $20 billion in profits. Now, we don't have any problem with them being profitable. What we do have a problem with them is not taking care of the people that got them there. And that's both the worker and the customer. AT&T should be leading its efforts to help restore our economy, but in fact, they're doing the exact opposite, laying off workers and trying to cut their pay. Well, AT&T workers are standing up for all working families who want good jobs in our country, and they're asking us to go to att.com and tell AT&T that you support quality service and a quality workforce. That message brought to you by the Communication Workers of America. Dave, thank you so much, and I want to thank the CWA for their support of First Shift. All right, as we get ready to wrap things up on this Thursday program, what a day indeed it was. We got a call this morning, I think it was even before the show started, from a guy at a UAW local that's a truck driver, that told Jeff about an issue that we're going to investigate, and once we do that, we will bring it to you. But the reason I share this with you is I'm encouraged that the rank and file union brothers and sisters that are out there understand that First Shift is here to help you solve problems and to bring light where there's darkness. And I appreciate that union brother reaching out to us and telling us about that. And once we do our homework, talk to some of the folks at his local, and again, I don't want to say anything until we've got the information. I promise we will be all over this. But it's very cool. All right, couple quick things before we let you out of here today. So if you're Mitt Romney and you, you're from Michigan technically, right? I mean, you're born here. But you're also from Massachusetts because you were the governor there. But you actually live in California, so that's where you're a resident of currently. What is your home state? Let's politically break this down. Michigan, for all intents and purposes, I don't care what the polls say right now. And I've said that before, so that's not like I'm going back on anything I've said before. It's going to go Obama. We can pretty much agree on that. And certainly Massachusetts won't vote for a Mitt Romney president. And California is very much a blue state and will not be voting for Mitt Romney. So the question that we ask ourselves is, I don't really feel bad for him. So let me back that up. He doesn't have a home state. At least not one that he can count on to vote for him, right? Just saying. And some other good news. Gabrielle Giffords, as you'll recall, was the congresswoman that was shot, almost killed, had massive injuries, brain surgery, had to end up giving up her seat in Congress. One of her aides won, and what is considered a Republican district, that seat, it stays with the Democrats, and that's good news for Democrats. It says a lot about where I believe the country's going. I think we should be quite optimistic that we're going to take back the House at the federal level. People, they took their eye off the ball on this one. You mark my words on this. We are going to get the House back. We reelect the president. The Senate's going to stay Democrat. The House goes Democrat. Then we really start to do some positive things. You wait and see. You wait and see. You heard it here first, as the saying goes. All right, one last thing, and then we're going to clean it up for today. Tomorrow, again, we're going to have more information about the new bridge. We're not going to have the information because it'll happen after the show's over, but we'll have more information, I promise. I want to remind you, Common Cause, an organization that we had on a little earlier in the show, does some fantastic work. It's really and should always be about transparency. Folks, as we are looking across the country, this great expanse of ours, more and more states are looking at Citizens United and looking to knock it down. This is not a partisan and shouldn't be a partisan issue. Meantime, we got to get out of here for today. Tony at thetonyshow.org. You want to call me? My number's at the website. And in the meantime, and as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, and we got some problems. Let's head over to Ingham County, where an accident has all lanes blocked on 96 westbound just after Okemos Road. Traffic is getting by on the shoulders. In Ann Arbor, an accident has the shoulder blocked on 94 westbound at State Street, and you got stop-and-go traffic from U.S. 12. And you got a semi stuck in the turnaround. That's on the Lodge Service Drive southbound at Forest. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 80 degrees. Tonight, clear skies and 58. Tomorrow, 87 and mostly sunny, and it's currently 51 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. This is Detroit's...